So.
That's good, though. They're going to make you.
Ladies, we're going to delay turning the cameras on in case any of you have any questions for any members of the city council that are here tonight. Because the city council asked me, don't turn the cameras on if these chicks got questions, because they could be tough. Now, who brought the thin mints and the tagalongs? Well, let me call the chief of police. Chief? You guys don't have your order forms with you?
No.
I have like 40 grand of city cash I'm willing to spend. Those cameras go off.
I'll do it. I'll send some.
So, ladies, any questions at all for any member of the city council? Anything at all? Moms, dads? Yes. You have to come to the podium. This will be great. We'll be able to see her. And you got to speak into the microphone.
And
tell us your name.
Anna.
Anna, what's your question?
Hannah. Hi, Anna.
I'm in charge here, Hannah. I will call you Anna.
I'm a biologist on the city staff.
Yeah, Hannah, what's your question?
What was your teenage job?
Oh!
Well, I'll give you a clue. My teenage job is the same as Mrs. Vogelsberg's kid's teenage job today.
Who's Mrs. Vogelsberg?
And my husband's
you wouldn't like
job.
Okay.
I worked at Jen Ho Restaurant.
Hey, I know that place. It's like a house that I like that's next to Dairy Queen. Or
yeah, exactly, yeah. That was fun.
Kids.
It was awesome. That was a very probing question. Thank you. Anybody else? Ladies? Anything? Miss? You have to come to the podium. How about... Oh, this... Oh, good.
Name?
Emma.
I think you'll get that one.
I get that one. What's your question, Emma?
Who's the best worker here?
That's the mayor.
That is awesome, Emma.
You say best looking or best worker?
Best working.
Best
working.
Best. Well, Alderman Nantino models on the radio, and the best worker here, I think, are all the men and women standing in the back who have the City of Geneva logo on their jackets, the chief of fire department, Mr. Wright, all those good folks. They actually run the city every day. We just hang out here on Monday nights. And guess who runs the city every day with extraordinary talent?
You.
That's right.
Who was also a Girl Scout?
That's right. Yeah, and who asked you to ask that question? Where, can you give me your address, please?
No, don't really.
No, don't. Don't give
don't
me address.
Do it.
Who else has a question? Emma, your time is well overdue. Yes, miss. Yep. And then one more, then we have to get our meeting going.
What's the best part of your mayor job?
Well, that is a good question.
That is good.
Hopefully I answer this downstairs, but I think the best part and the most fun is going to the schools. Talking to kids. It's pretty cool. Well, you know, sharing with you that I make like, you know, $500,000 a year, which is way underpaid. I like flying the city jet. Usually we'll cruise to Elburn for lunch and stuff, and then it's fun.
Red light cameras.
Yeah, there's a red light camera in the back. Unbelievable, isn't it? One more question?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good job.
This young lady here, the first, yes. What's
what?
Her name?
What? Oh, Abigail.
Abigail.
What two schools did you often visit?
Do you work for Dr. Mutchler?
No.
Actually, you know, I visit every school every year at least once. But it all depends on whether I'm invited. What school do you attend?
Mill Creek.
I helped dedicate Mill Creek. That's a beautiful school. Your principal's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your teacher?
Miss Ledford.
Is she nice?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really like her?
Yeah.
The camera's on? Yeah. Do you have homework tonight?
Yeah.
She's not that nice. God. Tell you what, don't do your homework and say, the mayor said I didn't have to.
Oh, there. Can we get out right in here?
to take that.
I put nothing in writing.
Guess who's going to have to stand for lunch for
that? You got one evil stare. You know that? It's like, I'm nervous just looking at you. What do you want to be when you grow up? Prosecuting attorney?
The mayor.
Aim higher.
A gymnast.
A gymnast? No kidding. Wow, good luck. Hopefully we'll see you compete in 2016. That's exciting.
Thank you.
Ladies, if you don't object, we've got to begin the meeting because we're paid by the hour. That was a joke, by the way. Ladies, you know what to do, right? We talked about this downstairs. Good evening, folks, and welcome to tonight's Committee of the Whole meeting. The meeting is called to order. The microphones are on, and the television cameras are rolling. Let the record show that all members of the City Council are present this evening. We do have a full house, and we're delighted that the Girl Scouts are with us this evening. I shared with the Girl Scouts downstairs when we were talking about tonight's meeting that we have to, and we are saddened to begin tonight's meeting on a relatively sad note, actually a very, very sad note. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've noticed coming into the building this evening, the city flag at City Hall and the city flags throughout the community are flying at half staff throughout the entire week. And they are doing so to honor a dear friend of ours and a colleague. His name is Mr. Jeff Price. Mr. Price was a consummate professional who worked for the city of Geneva for many, many years. He was responsible, along with his team, at the wastewater treatment facility to ensure that our operations ran smoothly, to ensure that our water was cleaned, if you will, to ensure that all of us were able to not only consume the water that we enjoy, but also to make certain that the businesses as well had the water they needed to succeed. And Mr. Price passed away this past weekend. And sadly, at the tender age of 56, way too young, he did, however, have the high honor of walking his daughter down the aisle last summer and saw his son married as well. But he leaves his daughter, Vanessa, and son, Sean, and his wife, Joanne, obviously alone now. And we've all known Mr. Price for quite a while. We think he's an extremely cool guy. And he was a very different individual. Imagine a guy working in the wastewater treatment facility. I mean, it's like a guy's job, you know, in the muck and all that stuff. But he was also a very gentle person. He and his wife had an extraordinary relationship. He was a very gentle person. If you read the obituary at all this week, they asked that donations be made to the Anderson Animal Shelter in honor of Mr. Price. And what the city council does far too often is that we lower the flags of the city of Geneva to honor those that we've lost, and that we ask our city council and those watching at home and those here in the audience to bow their heads for just a moment to remember Mr. Price and to let his family know that we remember them as well in our thoughts and our prayers. Thank you all very much. Mr. Singer. Please do, if you could lower your microphone. I know. Thank you.
Mr. Price is someone I had known for a goodly number of years. He lived in the Williamsburg village area, and he was extremely well respected by his peers as well as by his family members and by the community. He was a very gracious and giving man, helping people in the community, his neighbors as such, continuously. And he was very well respected, and he will be very well, very much missed. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ladies, we don't normally do this, but because you're all here and the pressure from your parents is overwhelming, We'd like to begin tonight's meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance. Would you kindly lead us in that pledge? Do you want to come up here so you're on camera and your parents will get a cool picture of you? And the flag is located right here, ladies, so remember, be sure to face the flag. And whenever you're all ready, someone nudges you, that's when you're ready to begin, okay? Okay, McQueenie? We're ready when you are, ladies. Well done.
Very good.
Thanks.
Just so you guys know, I'm actually calling up the list of those of you who made your bed this morning. Not terribly impressive.
I did.
Mr. Piper didn't either. I have a proclamation to declare the week of March 7th through the 13th as Girl Scout Week in the city of Geneva.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Vogelsberg, a second by Alderman Flanagan. Ladies, do you want me to read this proclamation?
Yeah!
You guys have nothing to do tonight, do you?
No!
They don't have to do their homework.
Teacher ways.
Okay, ladies, here it goes. This City of Geneva, Illinois, Proclamation, Girl Scout Week, March 7th through the 13th, 2010. Dramatic music to begin. Whereas Friday, March 12th, 2010, marks the 98th anniversary of Girl Scouts of the USA, founded in 1912 by Juliet Gordon Lowe in Savannah, Georgia. And whereas through its long and distinguished history, Girl Scouting has inspired millions of girls and women with the highest ideals of character, conduct, and patriotism. And whereas through Girl Scouts' unique leadership development program, girls define leadership by making the world a better place by discovering, connecting, and taking action in their communities. Remember we talked about volunteering your time? And whereas Girl Scouting takes an active role in increasing girls' awareness of the opportunities available to them in math, science, sports, technology, health, and fields that can expand your horizons. And whereas more than 3.3 million current Girl Scout members nationwide will be celebrating 98 years of American tradition with nearly 50 million women who grew up participating in Girl Scouting, exemplify the impact of this amazing movement. Now, therefore, I, Kevin Burns, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Thin Mint Cookie Foundation, thanks. We hereby proclaim the week of March 7th through the 13th as Girl Scouts Make a World a Better Place Week. The motion was offered by Alderman Vogelsberg, seconded by Alderman Flanagan. Here's the big test. Members of the City Council, there's a motion on the floor, there's a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Not with this group, but no one's opposed. Who would like to accept this proclamation on behalf of the City of Geneva? If you all went up here, it's like a Who concert.
Okay, it's like a Britney Spears concert.
Someone was killed.
No, the other girl.
Mrs. McQueen.
Gaga. Yeah. I'm excited. Lady Gaga.
It wasn't covered on CNN.
Brooke, what grade you in?
Ninth grade.
Question? That is cool, man. Say, Mom?
Yes.
She embarrassing you?
No. Probably.
Brooke, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Any words of wisdom to the younger scouts?
Keep going, girls. This is my 10th year of scouting, and I wish to continue all through high school. It's a fun and exciting thing, and it leads you to greater things in life.
Oh,
hey.
I want to apologize to the one boy that was downstairs during the tour. I said that we ran past a new law that said no boys, and this kid said, hey, what about me? So, ladies, if you need to leave and not do your homework, I understand. Okay? Seriously, just forget about it. Big deal.
Thank you.
Hi, girls.
Yeah. Mayor Bam Browns.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Sure. Sure, absolutely. Yeah, of course.
Ready for a photo.
You got it.
Did you hear yet?
No. I was
high. Thank you, members of the audience and members of the council, for indulging the Girl Scouts. That's always fun. Disappointing they didn't bring cookies, but always fun.
The east side?
Is that on camera, by the way?
Okay.
Yeah. Item one, ladies and gentlemen, is to approve the consent agenda. There's only one item on that consent agenda. A simple motion will be in order.
So moved.
Mr. Marks makes the motion. Mr. Piper makes the second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, we already proclaimed March 7th to the 13th. Life is good. And I'm going to slightly diverge from the agenda because we have some special guests with us this evening. And I want to begin with just a slight preamble to why they're with us today. We have Mr. Tom Wenzel and Ms. Rita Seller from Burgess Norton with us this evening.
Many of us in the council have received correspondence from neighbors, particularly in the first ward, but actually throughout many of the wards, for about the last week or so, regarding the odor issue that has resurfaced of late. I have approximately a dozen or so emails and phone calls to return, but I wanted to use this opportunity this evening to allow our friends in Burgess Norton to share with all of us, as they did earlier today, Mr. Hill, myself, City Attorney Radovich, Mrs. McKittrick, and Deputy Chief Koster met with both Rita and Tom just to learn exactly what's going on and what the next steps are with respect to this process that we've all heard so much about. It's probably fair to say we've met in person half a dozen or so times. I know many of you have corresponded with Rita and Tom directly, but for the benefit of our citizens and those who are curious, we thought the best approach was to have them with us this evening and share some information for all of our benefit. So without further ado, Rita and Tom, the floor is yours. If you could join us at the microphone.
Good evening. I've got a pretty loud voice.
Well, unfortunately, you have to be captured because we've got you on TV.
In case you haven't figured it out, I'm Rita. This is Tom.
And Rita, if you could actually address the... Yeah, because it's going to be captured, but it's going to be broadcast.
All right.
And then they'll be able to hear if you're speaking to the microphone, so that'd be
okay.
Awesome. This is Rita's first time in public.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Certainly we appreciate the invitation and having the opportunity to speak and kind of share with everyone what it is that we have done thus far and what we are working towards completing. We've been working very closely with the city as well as the mayor and the aldermans and really the community in terms of this particular issue. Back in October, it was brought to our attention, just to give some brief background in the event that there's somebody here that's not aware of it. It was brought to our attention, and we started to really, I guess best way to put it is sniff out whether or not this issue belonged to us. And we started to investigate internally within the facility that we operate and the timeline of the complaints along with when the smell started to arise seemed consistent with the particular process that we started, a drilling process within our operation. So immediately we started working towards figuring out some way to mitigate the source of the odor relative to that drilling operation. This is an operation that is temporary in nature. We brought it in-house to help us because we are shutting down a facility in Claremore, Oklahoma, and we are starting a new facility in Mexico. And so on a temporary or interim basis, we needed to run a drilling operation out of our Geneva facility. So the good news is that this is temporary. Brett with Mayor Burns communicated earlier in the year that this particular operation would leave our facility in April, and that is the time frame in which we are targeting. And that is really Brett's commitment to the community in terms of making sure that this process leaves our facility in April. However, we also knew it wasn't acceptable between the October-November time frame until April to allow an odor to permeate throughout the Geneva area. And so with Tom's assistance and with our operations folks and the president behind us, we began installing some HEPA filtration system, a carbon absorption system, as well as really encapsulating the entire machinery. And if you go in there, it looks like, frankly, Pee Wee's Playhouse, because the entire system is really encased to try to mitigate the odors from even leaving our particular facility. Through that process, it did seem to remove the odors for quite a period of time. We did have an unfortunate situation that arose probably about a month and a half ago, where Tom can better describe this. He is our environmental manager, where really the carbon or the charcoal within the system started to erode, and it allowed a breakthrough of some of the odor to release. So. Since that time, we've ordered a lot of charcoal. We installed it Friday, and we continue to also create some preventative measure and preventative maintenance control processes to continue to mitigate the odors as best as possible. Now, we do know that there's some escapes that have happened. There's people that have brought to our attention, certainly the mayor's attention, the city's attention, some other odor issues, so we continue to look at that. But again, we're trying to make every effort we possibly can can up until that April timeframe when that machine gets out of our facility to try to, you know, at least encapsulate the odors and not allow those releases to happen or to go into the Geneva community. So this has been a challenging issue for us, I will share. There is no guidebook on how you deal with odor issues. If anybody has one or knows of one, please send it my way. So we have tried to work with the community as best as possible, at least be transparent on the issue, address the issue as best as we can, but we're frankly new to this. This is not anything we've ever had to deal with before. So, you know, if people do have ideas, Tom and I are all ears, and we'd love to hear from you, but we are trying to make sure that we do everything possible so that we at least step up to this issue, address it, and frankly, remove it from our facility as quickly as possible. And if Tom, the president, and I have to carry this machine off of out of the facility and on our backs in that April time frame, we will do it. So that's really an update from our end. I'd be happy to answer any questions that people have. And Tom certainly can address any sort of environmental-related questions.
I do want to add one bit of information that I think is worth noting. Rita and Tom and the President and Chief Executive Officer of Burgess Norton, Mr. Brett Vasseur, have been working regularly for quite some time with the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency on this issue as well. The IEPA has been to the Burgess Norton facility, not because there's any hazardous issue, but because it's a nuisance, pure and simple. And that's their mission, is to respond to those kind of queries from the community. We are in contact with the IEPA as well. Deputy Chief Koster, certainly the Building Commissioner's Office, the Community Development's Office, etc. So we're all well aware of what's going on, but the most recent resurgence of the odor, of course, encouraged today's session at City Hall, and we thought it best that Rita and Tom join us tonight so they could, from their own words, share with us and the community at large what exactly has transpired, why it transpired, and the fact that April, we all hopefully get to say goodbye to not only the equipment, but of course the odor. Rita, Tom have actually prepared a communique that will be going out to the press, that will also be posted on the Burgess Norton website, that will be posted on the city's website, that all of us will have a copy of. So if anyone does inquire as to what's going on, we can use that as the foundation. And perhaps most importantly, if we receive calls or emails, Tom and Rita have encouraged all of us to certainly respond to those emails and calls, but also notify Tom and Rita so they too are in the loop. Oftentimes our neighbors and our citizens are corresponding directly with these two, but sometimes they just come to us. So they need to be as aware as well who's calling and for what purpose. So now obviously I'll open it up to questions from the first ward alderman first, Mr. Hill and Dr. Brown, who I know have been on top of this issue as well.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Very good explanation from both Rita and yourself, sir. I appreciate the opportunity to forward any concerns by residents in the neighborhood in the first ward. But you know what I don't think I have is your email address.
I sent you an email earlier this week, or last week.
I probably lost it.
I'd be happy to give it to you.
All right, thank you. I will forward some of these to you.
That'd be great.
Dr. Brown?
Thank you. In the fall, you were sending out fairly regular updates. Do you plan on one or two in the next couple of days now that you've actually made a physical change, which people should actually notice, I hope, as being an improvement?
We hope. And again, you know, we appreciate the feedback because, unfortunately, Tom and I don't always smell everything. So when people bring it to our attention, and again, we've installed some control processes in place to help address some of this as well, but we have just posted an updated communication on our website, which is www.
You also have a mailing list, right?
That's correct.
Who complain.
People who have come forward to us, which is why we ask for correspondence so that we have a greater reach in terms of the community. So we will be sending that out tomorrow. I wanted to wait until this meeting took place, but again, we have already posted the communication on our website, and we have shared it with Mayor Burns in the city, as well as Jerry Koster and Sam and some other people.
Good, great. That's wonderful news. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Piper?
Thank you, Mr. Piper. How often are you guys running this operation?
7 days a week, 24/7.
Is this running all the time?
Yeah.
So I realize that something's hardscapes, obviously. You're doing that because you're going to take it down and move it. I mean, that's going to take time to get it down.
That's correct. Yeah. Well, and it's challenging because, I mean, without going into all the issues, it's hard to get raw materials and other things, you know, to respond to the situation. But you've really got a commitment by Bridges Norton that originally what was relayed by Mayor Burns and the president of an April time frame. So whatever we have to do to make sure that that happens, that's the commitment that we've made.
The best we can do, I mean, obviously with it running all the time and you guys, that's great that you move forward and put all these things in, but we really need to keep community vigilant so that they can, if they do smell it, to let you know, because being inside the plant, I'm sure it's going outside the plant, you're not going to know. So
right. And, you know, well, we do know because Tom and I have made it a habit when we drive to work, even in the winter months, to drive with our windows down. So our nose is sticking out of our cars, and we do kind of try to observe and smell if we see anything or smell anything. So
yeah, because we've gotten, I mean, it just depends on when the wind blows. We've gotten emails from all over the city. It's the weirdest thing. But thank you. Appreciate it.
Anyone else on the dais? Questions for Rita or Tom? Alderman Flanagan?
Yes, thank you very much for giving us the update. I just have a question because you mentioned April time frame. Do you know if it's the latter part of April or the beginning part of April?
I believe what was communicated by Brett was April 1st, so that is the targeted time frame in which Brett is really charging forward with. So
you'll recall, or at least, well, you won't recall, but we reviewed, when Mr. Vasseur was with us on December 11th at a committee of the whole meeting, Mr. Vasseur stood exactly where Tom and Rita are standing tonight and indicated that April 1...
Okay.
Now, April 1 is the targeted date to cease operations of this particular production. It's not necessarily removing the equipment, but that equipment should expect to be moved that following week of April 5.
But it will be down in production, isn't
correct.
It?
Correct.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, smell is only produced during production.
That's correct. Right.
That's correct.
Tearing it out may cause a momentary smell. You have to tear that all down. I'm sure the walls and the everything must be infiltrated with the smell at this point inside that enclosure.
Yeah, we intend to also clean up the facility, but because we do know that the smell has permeated, so we're going to try to take some additional steps to see if we can remove it as best as possible.
That's good, too. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else on the dais? Anyone in the audience, perhaps, or questions for Rita or Tom? Mr. Dwyer, welcome, sir. Please join us at the podium. And I know you guys probably know Jamie. He's corresponded with you.
We've corresponded with him. Hi, Jamie.
The question is, it was unusually strong this weekend. And as you said, it has permeated your factory. It has also permeated most of the houses around your factory. What, I mean, if you've installed the new charcoal filter, why is the odor so strong? And that's pretty much what I...
We did install the carbon absorption unit.
Tom, if you could speak into the microphone, because I know there's oh God, tens of millions of people.
We did install the carbon unit. I believe it was in November, and we achieved a good period of time there to where it was not as strong. We have had a resurgence there. Right now, we did refill the carbon unit on Friday, and we're hoping that it does get better. We don't have a root cause right now for why it did stink this weekend. So we're still searching why that there was a resurgence there.
Mr. Winslow explained to me earlier today that the carbon filtration process had a breach. And because of that breach, obviously additional odors emanated from the building. Their addition of additional carbon material should stem, if not completely stop, any future breaches. And we certainly hope that's the case. But I would encourage you, Jamie, like anyone else, I mean, if the odor becomes pungent again, you fire off an email to Tom and Rita, show me his copy, show Mr. Hill, Dr. Brown his copy, because we want to stay on top of it as well, obviously. And every time we visit Bridges Norton, we come out smelling much like... So just the cost of dry cleaning alone is just exorbitant. It's unbelievable. So, Jamie, anything else? Okay. Anyone else in the audience? Anyone else from the dais? We will be communicating the communique through our city newsletter this Friday as well. And we will have that posted online as it is on the Bridges Norton site. So,
appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
folks, item 3B, as in boy, is considered street closures for the Concours d'Elegance event, August 22nd, 2010.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Piper. Questions or comments? We have some of the august leaders of this extraordinary event with us tonight. No questions, no comments?
Well,
all in favor?
Nearly as well as it has the last couple of years.
It's an incredible event.
Welcome addition to downtown.
Oh, it's incredible.
Are you seeking volunteers again?
All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Thanks, guys. By all means, stick around. The fun's about to begin, so it's... Item 3C, consider the intergovernmental agreement with the Geneva School District 304 regarding the National Incident Management System, otherwise known as NIMS, participation.
So moved.
Second.
Brown makes the motion. Marks makes the second. Questions or comments for the city administrator? Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, sir. Mary, I understand that this grant is being applied by the school district. It's approximately $400,000, and it's to compensate not only the school district, but for those who participate in this national incident management training. Are all of our costs anticipated to be covered under this grant?
The school district has been advised, and in the agreement itself, and they've agreed to reimbursing the city for any of our costs related to personnel.
And do we have any idea what that anticipated cost could possibly be?
No, we don't. We gave them an hourly rate so that they know, you know, what the charges will be.
All right. Thank you.
Anyone else? We have a motion by Brown, a second by Marks. All in favor of item 3C, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 3D, consider draft ordinance amending ordinance number 2009-31 relating to lighting plans for the Niccolo Planned Unit Development, 70720 East State Street.
So moved.
Second.
Pollack makes the motion. Dantino makes the second. Questions or comments for Mr. Wrench? Hearing none, seeing none, all in favor of item 3D, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 3E, consider authorization to publish updated City of Geneva zoning map.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Vogelsberg, seconded. This is a tough one. This is a tough one. Seconded by Mr. Marks. Questions or comments on the zoning map, which you'll notice if you look closely has actually eliminated all of the Alderman's homes just for security reasons. Dr. Brown. And then Mr. Pollack.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Question for Mr. Unsch. We anticipate a zoning change on coming up North First Street and a number of other properties in town. Will that have to wait till the next zoning map publication to get codified?
Actually, that change is a zoning text amendment, so there won't be any impact on the zoning map for those changes.
Correction. Yes, I stand corrected. Thank you.
Mr. Pollack.
Asked and answered. Thank you.
Anyone else? We have a motion and a second on item 3E. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 3F, consider draft resolution authorizing emergency repair of the wastewater generator to Cummins N-Power Limited Liability Corporation in the amount of $75,510.89.
So, second.
Maladra makes the motion. Mr. Marks makes the second. Questions or comments for either Mr. Dingus and or Mr. Buffington? Mr. Pollack.
Thank you, Mayor. Earlier today, Dan and I had a exchange of correspondence back and forth regarding this particular item, that in 2007, the unit experienced a catastrophic failure to piston number 5, its crankshaft, and both sides of the block. And now again in 2009, there's another catastrophic failure, which is involving a fuel injector. I guess the question is, Dan, and I presume that you're pressing Cummins for some answers because of the cost to make this necessary repair. And I know that Cummins won't give you any guarantees. What is the value of this unit? How often is it run? It's just troubling, I'm certain, on your part, you know, to have this piece of equipment break down in such, not routine maintenance, but catastrophic.
It saved the city $138,000 in the last 2 years in transmission and capacity costs. I do realize this cost about approximately $75,500 offsets that, leaving us with about $63,000 savings.
What's the value of the unit, Mike? What would the, if you had to sell it today, or what's it worth?
I do not know.
If memory serves me correct,
this is the Y2K generator.
Y2K, it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $400,000.
Is what we paid for it?
I believe so, yeah. It was the Y2K that never, HAPPENED.
No, my thought is simply, and I understand it's serving a purpose, and I agree with that. I'm just wondering, you know, we're going to be spending now another $75,000. Perhaps our money is better spent selling it, scrapping it, and buying a smaller unit to accommodate our needs.
We actually had that same discussion as whether, and that's why it's taken so long to go through and get the evaluation. We actually had them come out to evaluate it to see what it was, but we needed to have them take it in so they could actually take it out of, if you remember, this is inside a trailer.
Right.
And they needed to, we had to bring it to them so they could get it out of the trailer so they could really look at it to see what the issues are. And before we were going to come back to City Council to see whether this is something we wanted to move forward with, we had that same discussion of how much, depending on how much it costs, is it worth going through this expense? We really don't know what the causes have been the last, with these two occurrences. We've talked to Cummins, they've never had that happen. We actually talked to CAT too, because we've got CAT engines as well, and they're baffled at why something like this would happen to the engine. So I guess we just have some bad luck there, but we are evaluating whether it's worth it. When you put the transmission savings that we're getting, it seems to make sense, because we're still ahead of the game even with the accident, you know, the incidents that we've had. Now if it happens again in the near future, I mean, then it's, do we just have, is this just a lemon machine that we got? And I don't know, but it's very unfortunate that it happened so close to each other. But we think at this point, let's get it fixed, and we'll do like we've been doing, the monthly maintenance. Cummins comes in 3 times a year at the beginning of the season, so in May they come, check everything out to make sure it's ready for the season. Then at the end of this summer season, they come back out and take a look at everything again, and then they come again sometime during the winter, and then we do the monthly runs for the machines and check in fluids and all that stuff. And that's what, you know, we put that together working with Cummins to make sure we were doing the proper maintenance. And from what we can tell, we've been doing the proper maintenance, but for whatever reason, we've had these issues. But we think right now that was the time to move forward with it, and we'll just keep doing what we're doing, and it should save us some money. So,
thank you.
Alderman Vogelsberg, Flanagan, then Brown.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm sorry that I don't know the answer to this question, but how does it save us $138,000? Is that because it's behind the meter? See how just, I threw that in? I don't know. I took a stab at it.
We run it just like GGF.
Okay.
Geneva's generation, where the CAT engines are. Same thing. It's got a higher start because it costs more to run it. But when those costs get up there, we can cap out at least up to 2 megawatts worth that power. So that's where it's saving us the money on the transmission.
Thank you.
And it is an avoided cost.
Avoided, right.
So, yeah, it's not necessarily $138,000 extra in our pocket, but it's an avoided cost. We would have had to spend an additional $138,000 to receive the power we would have needed.
So it's all about the transmission cost. We're saving that.
We don't, yeah, it's, right. It's $130,000 less that we pay PJM.
Okay. Thank you.
Alderman Flanagan and Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Life expectancy of this generator? Does anybody know?
It's died twice.
It's died twice. I know, but I mean, what?
Again, we bought it in 1999, so I mean, it's got.
I mean, it's already.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
If it was a cat, it would have 9 lives.
Yeah.
What would you expect it to last?
It's a Cummins.
It's Cummins.
10 years.
And it's something like this. I mean, if it's like our generation facility, these things should last 20 plus years.
Okay.
Doing the routine maintenance that it should last a long time.
Thank you.
Alderman Brown?
Yeah, I think the lifetime of machines is usually counted in terms of the hours they run, but
this has very little hours right now.
Yes. Will it be ready for the summer season?
That's what we're trying to do right now.
So if we approve this tonight, there's a chance we can get it in time for the first heat wave.
Yeah, they said that it would be ready before summer.
Wonderful. Right. Thank you.
Alderman Marks, I'll recognize Alderman Pollack a second time if no one else wishes to speak.
You know, what is Cummins giving us in some type of warranty with this work? I mean, are we getting, you know, it seems like it's a catastrophic failure. I mean, are they giving us any warranty on these repairs?
90 days on the labor, and I think a year on the parts.
How long on the parts?
I'm sorry. 1 year on the parts, 90 days on the labor.
Okay, all right. And we need a unit this size to really run that? Is that, or is this too big for...
It's bigger than what we need at the wastewater treatment plant. The only reason we got it for the Y2K, and it was like, well, let's utilize it. So we've used it for the backup at the wastewater treatment plant, which is priority number one. And then while we have it there, we might as well put it into the system and try to save some money.
Mm-hmm. But its main purpose really is for the wastewater treatment plant. And if we had to buy a new one for that, is it?
You can get a smaller one for the wastewater. I mean, truthfully, you can get a smaller one for the wastewater treatment plant. We can look at.
I just wondered.
I don't know what size it would need to be.
Yeah, that's why I asked that. That's fine. Okay, thank you.
Alderman Pollack, unless anyone else wishes to speak. Alderman Pollack?
Thank you, Mayor. Again, Mike, is there any association between Event 1 and Event 2? I couldn't tell from the correspondence. We know that Failure 1 was with the fifth piston, and Failure 2 involved the fuel injection.
So there is no connection between the two events.
Is this a 12-cylinder?
I believe it's 12-cylinder, yes.
Thanks.
Anyone else from the dais? Questions for Mr. Dinges or Mr. Buffington or anyone in the audience?
Can we get a better warranty from Cummins this time around?
Hey, we'll try. Yeah. We'll talk to them and see what we can get out of it. Because, we're upset about it, and we don't want to have to be dealing with it in the near future.
I think there's someone in the audience that might have their hand. Oh, yes, sir.
Could you ever buy one from them again?
You got to repeat the question because we can't hear it, nor... I'm sorry, not you. I want Dan to repeat the question so those folks at home know what the question is, so that's all.
The question was, would we ever buy from them again? Well, when we buy something like that, we have to go through the bidding process, so we typically go with a low bid. If we were to have another failure of this, if we move forward with this repair and we have another failure and decide, let's get a new unit, if they were to low bid, I think we might recommend not going with them, but, I mean, it would have to be evaluated.
Anything else?
I mean... There's other vendors out there, of course.
You
know, and perhaps this is a lemon, but you know, certainly there's Cat, there's Inland, there's a slew of manufacturers
right.
to turn to.
Okay. Anyone else? The motion remains on the floor as offered by Mr. Maladra and Mr. Marks, M&M. That's my pet name for him.
Cute.
All in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed, please say nay. We're down to item 3G, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to allow City Administrator McKittrick a moment to prepare the presentation she has for us.
Oh, I got one.
We've had some bad.
It's a shot you guys use.
It's a 7
And Mary, I've actually got, check this out.
Oh, cool.
Well, this would be, you have to cut your losses after this.
And typically during a presentation of this size, we ask that the presenter be allowed a chance to at least provide the 30,000-foot perspective prior to any questions. But Mary, I'll defer to you how you'd like to move forward.
I think, Mayor, if we could hold off on the questions, many of them might be answered during the presentation, at least hopefully.
Very good.
So it might expedite things a little bit.
And again, I know a lot of folks are interested in the numbers that are going to be presented this evening. So if there are any questions following, just make certain your microphones are on. And just to ensure that no one speaks out, I'm going to turn them off.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, City Council. This evening I'm presenting the 19 miscellaneous budgets. As you'll recall, we have about 30 budgets in total, which is a result of government fund accounting. This evening, as we've done in the past, we're presenting the miscellaneous budgets this week. And then I do plan on moving up the schedule by a week and attempting to present the balance of the budgets next week. So we'll see how that goes. I want to start with the cemetery fund. In the spreadsheet before you, you'll see that revenues for this fund are $101,675. The expenditures are the same. This is a fund that is self-funded. This is an enterprise fund, one of five that we have. Any overages come out of the reserves. That we have had a policy in the past regarding the sale of the plots and the breakdown, and that has been that 50% of the revenue would go toward operating, 25% would go toward the endowed care fund, and that 25% would go toward new development fund. Currently, because we need the revenues to cover expenditures, all of the plot sale revenues are going to cover the operating shortfall. The endowed care fund is $285,000, and that's a permanent fund with the interest used as revenue. So we use the interest off of that as revenue for that fund, but the endowed care amount stays basically as untouchable, a permanent fund. And the new development fund is about $57,000, and that is used to buy property, development of new areas, and land purchase. We did get a couple of questions regarding this, and that was the difference between the wage figure of 2007-08 and the 2010-11 wage figure. That difference, and the question was, why is there such a gap? And I can tell you that the wage difference is a result of combining the summer help salaries with the sexton wages. In the past, we've had those on two different line items. And you recall that last year, we went about trying to combine accounts, combine line items as much as we could as a good financial practice, because the fewer data entries that you have, is particularly into payroll, the fewer opportunities you're going to have to make mistakes. So we combined summer help salaries and sexton wages into one item in the 2010-11 budget. And then we also increased the sexton's allocation to 75% for this fund, because that's actually the amount of time that he spends doing cemetery-related work. The other 25% goes into the street budget, because that's where he spends the other 25% of his time. And the balance of those that line item is overtime and then summer help. Technically, the cemetery fund is part of the general fund, but it has to be separated because under government accounting rules, which, as I said, are a little bit different, it has to stand as alone by itself, has to be accounted differently because it has revenues coming in. In previous years, the cemetery sexton's wages would all go to the cemetery fund, and then when the dollars were allocated to that budget were exhausted, then our finance department would do a journal entry to transfer any excess expense to the street maintenance budget or from the general fund to cover. This year, again, in an attempt to be more reflective of the actual costs, we've allocated 75% here and 25% to the street maintenance, which is the actual breakdown of work being performed. And then, as I said, the wages also include $3,700 in summer help and then some overtime. The new development line item, again, is to be used to purchase property, development of new areas, land purchase. In short, the revenues do not cover expenses for this fund and are being subsidized from the general fund and cemetery-related sales. We did look into outsourcing work related to maintaining the cemeteries, but found that there was not a cost savings that could justify recommending it at this time, and we will continue to look at that and price that out as an option as we go forward. Next, I want to talk about the commuter parking fund. In that, we're showing revenues at $463,000, the operating budget at $202,000, capital at $424,000, and the fund balance at $41,000. And obviously, I'm just rounding these off. The daily parking fee scheduled is scheduled to be increased by 50 cents. I wish 50%. You may recall in I believe it was last month's monthly report that I submitted to you, I included a memo from Phil from, I believe it was 2007-08 budget cycle, and in there he commented that we would need to be increasing the parking, daily parking fees, excuse me, by 50 cents in order to meet debt obligations. I have called and left a message for Metra. I have not heard back from them as of yet, but it does require their sign-off for the parking deck because they're part owner of that because of the grant money. But we will be looking to increase by 50 cents for the parking deck, which would take it from $1.50 a day to $2, and then the overflow lot is $1.25, and the 50 cents would take that to $1.75. There's a $30,000 decrease in revenue commuter permits due to the third rail project. We don't know when that's going to happen. I've spoken with Metra about that. They should be forthcoming within the next few weeks to make a presentation to us. And hopefully during that presentation they can give us some more precise information. But we do know that we're going to lose about 100 spaces when that happens on the south side of the station, which equates to approximately $30,000. We have included in this budget depreciation impact of the parking deck, and that's equal to the operating costs. The debt refunded to reduce interest costs is 24%. The electronic pay machines, some of you are familiar that we've had some issues with those over the last few years since the deck was established, constructed. Staff has met. We've talked with the mayor about it. I'm sure that some of you have received some complaints as well. And we have decided to go back to the mechanical machines. The mayor supports that decision. We have one mechanical machine, so we'll be looking to purchase three more at a cost of about $13,000. But at the same time, I've removed $4,000 from maintenance in this budget that we have in the current fiscal year that won't be going forward in future years, and we would expect that to only continue to go up should we keep those. And if we're fortunate enough to ever get a third level on there, we would need more machines, and the annual cost would go up as well, and theoretically the frequency and number of complaints. So we're going to go back to the mechanical pay machines, and hopefully that will save us some money and some frustration as well. One thing that we might consider in order to keep this budget more solvent in the future is to discontinue transfer money to the general fund. Right now we are doing that, but it's not something that we need to do, and we may need to consider doing that in the future, because if you look, you can see going out that we're talking about $140,000 next year and $147,000 the following year. And we may not be able to continue doing that. So it's just been an historical practice of the city to do that. I wanted to touch on some questions that I'd received on the commuter parking fund to provide you with everyone with the answers to that. Question was, why are the community directors' wages allocated to this fund? I never liked the answer, because we've always done it that way, but that is the answer. We had talked this year about changing it to city administrators' allocation to that, because I oversee that fund more so than community development. But frankly, it's irrelevant, because both of those come out of the general fund. You know, so it's just putting into this and taking out of, or less, that much less that would go into or be taken from the general fund. So either way, as long as it is a wage that's allocated typically to the general fund, that 10% is allocated to this. But we have talked about changing that to the city administrator as opposed to the community development director. And I suspect that that had something to do with the development of the deck and the oversight that came through that department planning and building. And the idea was, until it was completely finished, you know, I believe it would stay that way. And at this point, it is not completely finished, because we're still hoping for a third level. The reallocation is the same, the 10%, but it was not entered into the payroll system correctly for the 09-10 year. What was actually entered into the payroll system was 2%. So again, we're trying to realistically and accurately reflect those allocations as they're supposed to be. There's a question about the $50,000 700 line item to Dodson Place. There were several property exchange agreements going back over several years that the city had with Shodine Development. The most recent one included an obligation by the city for $50,700 for parking credits in Shodine 8, or I'm sorry, I always say that, Dodson 8. So we have that obligation, and it's been in there. We've been carrying that amount over, and it's supposed to be distributed, prorated on certificates of occupancy as they're received on the commercial units in Dodson 8. We haven't issued any occupancies as of yet, and as we do, then that amount will be prorated and paid to Schoeding Development as it was agreed to by the City Council several years ago. And then a question, is the debt jumping because of backloading the debt payment? And does this relate to the memo that I provided you about the daily fees going up? And the answer is yes and yes to both of those. Yes, it is because it's the debt is backloaded. And yes, that does relate to the memo that I provided to you showing that for at least 2 years, and then that Phil recommended increasing that fee, and then in this current budget, I also, if you'll look in there, I also recommended it. So I'm continuing to recommend it going forward. The fund balance is actually decreasing by $50,000, and yes, that's because of the amount of revenues, because we don't have enough. So yes, that's decreasing as well. The debt service fund revenues, $1.6 million, and expenditures, $1.6 million. The bond and interest expenses for street improvements, Prairie Green Public Safety, the tax levy abatements. I did mention this last year when I was giving the same presentation about the levy abatements, and I'll just mention it again. This year, going forward, staff will recommend that we abate for the fire station 2, which is $25,000. But as we talked about, the final Prairie Green abatement would be this year because we've depleted that fund. So, question that came up on the debt service fund, what is the purpose of increasing the fund balance when the yearly payments are decreasing? The increase in the closing balance is a direct result of the interest that we anticipate to receive, which is estimated to be $7,000 in the upcoming fiscal year. This year it looks like we're receiving about a little over $10,000, but we've decreased that for the upcoming year. So that's why it's an anticipated interest revenue. Dental group claims, revenues and expenditures both at $124,000. We saw a 3% increase. Our mid-year renewal is in November. The wellness program was reallocated to individual departments. Wellness program is our health and benefits fair that we provide every fall, and that used to come out of this fund. I didn't think that it was appropriate for the wellness fair to come out of a dental claims fund. It just didn't make sense to me. So we allocated that back to each of the departments, prorated based on the number of employees that participate. So they're picking up that cost out of their department funds. And then the fund balance of a little over $6,000. Couple of questions that came in about the contribution rate from employees, and what the share is and how it compares to what you might be paying. We don't use private industry as a benchmark for wages or benefits. We use the compensation system that this council adopted a few years ago, where we compare apples to apples. We compare 26 other municipalities or local governments by that policy, or the policy that the City Council established, so that we can see what other entities like us are doing and how we compare against that benchmark. The city council long ago also established a policy that the city contributes 100% to a single employee's dental premium and approximately 70% to an employee if they have the family plan and the dental. The current rates are $33.25 a month for single and $88.31 a month for family. And again, we're following that policy as it was voted on by City Council. So if we need to talk about that policy, that renewal comes up in November, and staff brings it to the City Council typically in October for the renewal. So we would look to between now and then to make any adjustments that we might need to. Fire station or fire facility in your spreadsheet. Fire station number two, revenues, we're anticipating $7,000 total, and five of that would be developer contribution, and then the other $2,000 for interest earned. Expenditures, $25,000, and the fund balance, $100,000. This is helping to pay off the bond payments for fire station number two. That was the understanding when those bonds were issued that an abatement would take place, that we would collect impact fees from annexed property from developers, and then we would use that those impact fees to help pay down this debt. One of the questions that I received is this the income we're expecting for the current development, current year developments, or previously paid? The $5,000 that we're showing is anticipated revenue based on proposed projects such as Meadowbrook Manor, Roquette, hopefully Delnor, so those coming in. We were very conservative, but we did put $5,000 in there for anticipated revenues. The fire pension revenues at $650,000 and expenditures $126,000. The fund balance is $8.8 million funding level, and I need to correct this. It's 80%, not 90%. I just got new information today, and I don't actually have the written report in hand, but I got new information today that the funding level is at 80%. So it's dropped 90. It's dropped 10% from 90 to 80 since last year. And then we use 11% of the replacement tax that we get from the state to contribute toward this fund. And then I had a question about the jump in administrative costs and the increase in the fund balance, and then the amount of the funding, and that is not 90, that is 80%. I will tell you that the General Assembly determines the pension benefit levels. They determine the funding calculations that are used, and then the local authority to impose taxes, which is through our levy, to keep the funds fiscally sound. The fund balance is to cover the anticipated pension expenses of retirees, and the levies fall within the 5% tax cap. The administrative costs are those that are paid from the pension fund by the pension board for services that they receive from accountants, financial advisors, actuaries. And the city has a non-fire representative on each of the public pension boards, but those are separate boards that invest those funds. And other than being a conduit for that, we follow state statute, and the city really doesn't have a whole lot of authority over those expenditures. We have none. We have no authority over those expenditures or investments. So. IMRF, Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund. This is for non-public safety employees. Revenues are at $700,000. Expenditures almost at $700,000. Fund balance, $176,000. Funding level is and has been for some time at 100%. And we contribute 32% of the replacement tax that we receive toward this fund. Again, the funding levels are to cover the cost of non-public safety retirees based on a formula that's set by IMRF board through the authority of state statutes. The state statutes dictate the amount of contribution by the employee, and then the IMRF board dictates the percentage of contribution by the employer. So we don't have a say about that either. IMRF is one of the few public employee pensions that has been and remains solvent. These funds are restricted, cannot be used for anything else. And I will say, because there was a question about it being 100%, and I will tell you that in IMRF's opinion, and I think anyone that understands pensions as well, underfunding a pension plan results in the accumulation of fewer plan assets on which to earn an investment return, necessitating larger employee contributions and higher contribution rates in the long run. So if you underfund it, they've got less money, there's going to be less return, so down the road you're going to perhaps end up with less money, maybe underfunded to an amount that you can't take care of retirees, which we don't have a choice, again, and then it will cost more in the long run if they're not making the return on investments under normal circumstances. The next budget is the Mental Health Board budget. Excuse me. Revenues, you recall that we reduced the levy this year, and the levy amount is $155,000. Expenditures are $141,500 for the anticipated expenditures. The revenue for this fund is the tax levy. Thank you, Jean. I won't tell you what's in here. The $139,000.
That's right.
The $139,000 that is available for distribution is the same amount that the Mental Health Board distributed last year. The excess revenue is $14,000, and the closing balance is $94,000. You will recall that this board invested in the group home a couple of years ago, and that's why they're saving. That's their savings account. Their closing fund balance was the $94,000, and that was one of the questions that I received as well. You know, why is this balance increasing? It's based on an internal policy set by the Mental Health Board. They try to set aside 15%. Of their tax levy for capital program planning, such as the group home. And they have the authority to determine how much they want to distribute and how much they want to set aside. And that has that's delegated to them through the authority of the city and through the city ordinance that was passed after the referendum was approved when they were established. I will just point out one other thing. Down at the bottom, you'll see highlighted in yellow, I put the distribution amounts. That goes back to 97-98, so that you can see how much they've distributed each year. When you average those out, it comes out to about $114,000 on average. Motor fuel tax. Motor fuel tax revenues $561,000, expenditures $560,000. As you know, this contributes to our annual street program. It's distributed to us by the state on a per capita basis, and the fund balance is $170,000. I got a question about why are we carrying a 30% balance. that 30% is equal to $1,500 out of the total $560,000 street program, which can be applied to street work program in the upcoming fiscal year, and it was acquired by the interest earned on this account, and actually if you look back over the years, it's much lower than it ever has been in the past. So it is something that will go toward the street program, whether it's now or next year or in the future. So we typically don't have a lot hanging around in there. We use it. But this is this is just money earned on interest. And this is, I just wanted to give you a list of the streets. You remember this already came before the council and was approved a month or so ago, that engineering brought to you as the street program for this year. So I just wanted to include that for just to refresh your memory. And then we have Prairie Green Fund. Revenues, $130,000. Expenditures, $115,000. We are anticipating and hoping and wishing that we will get $45,000 this year for 1 acre of wetland credit that we sell. We have a farm lease to farm approximately 280 acres at a very good price compared to other leases that we've seen, at $303 per acre for this calendar year. There is this year a transfer of $100,000 that was the abatement to help pay the bond. The closing fund will not support future abatements based only on farm leases and potential wetland credits. The fund balance is a little over $39,000 right now, but we don't have enough to abate. In the future, you know, it depends on how many wetland credits that we are able to sell, and also the farming. With regard to any future developments, bike paths, we talked about a parking lot, we talked about community gardens, and those types of things. All of that will depend on those revenues in the future. Police pension. Again, like the fire pension, they have their own board. Their revenues are $1.1 million. Their expenditures are $800,000. Their funding level, and I don't have new figures on this, are at about 69%. I will try to get those updated as well before the budget book is printed. But that's the most current number that I have, is that funding is at the 69% level. Replacement taxes contribute 25% to this, and then the fund balance is at $12.9 million. The refuse fund revenues are at $365,000 and expenditures at $361,000. As you recall, we outsourced leaf pickup for the upcoming fiscal year. The cost of the leaf pickup machine that we had in this year's budget is going to be used to offset the cost of the new program, which is $170,000. The 50% per month increase in leaf pickup fees would be a total on the bill, utility bill of $235. There's no increase in the brush pickup fees, which are $1.70. The fund balance on refuse is $123,000. Had a couple of questions on that as well. Why does this fund carry a large and increasing balance? Now that we don't have to worry about leaf pickup equipment breaking down, and then a question about selling the leaf collection equipment. Right now, we're trying to, staff is trying to determine anticipated revenue for the sale of the equipment, and the budget can be amended when we get to that point. We're not sure right now exactly how much that might bring, but we're looking to put that up on iBid to sell that, and we will start out asking $48,000 for it, and then that money will be used to offset the following 3 years. The $42,000 that we didn't use to buy the leaf pickup machine will be used to subsidize the first 2 years. And then the machine, the equipment that we have in place right now, if we can sell it, will be used to subsidize the final 3 years of the contract. And that's it on that one. SSA number one. I really don't know what else I can say about this fund that hasn't been said for hour upon hour. You will recall that we had a many long discussions about trying to accurately reflect what the costs were. The council decided to increase the levy amount. And the tax levy is now, 30 cents, which equals $186,000 in property taxes. $65,000 in the general fund capital improvement program, when you'll see next week when I bring those budgets forward, will be included in there for the reconstruction for a portion of the Hamilton lot because it needs to be done. It's falling apart, and this fund couldn't support it. So we're going to be proposing that that be paid out of the capital improvement program. And then $14,000 is allocated for general lot maintenance. And then also we've got 215 Campbell, because that is in the SSA1. We're showing some of the property lease up here. You'll see, if I can read it, $16,000 I think it is. And that's for hi-hat, that's also for 215 Campbell. And then you'll see down here, $8,100. And that is for some legal, and that's a little over $7,000 in property taxes to cover that. So as long as we're leasing that property, we have to pay property taxes on it. That may change, as you well know, but for the time being, we will have to pay property taxes on that. So in response to questions about wages and allocations, new labor costs, so on and so forth, there's also a question about the 20% funding allowed for other items, and then a 10% threshold requiring a unanimous vote by the council. Maintenance wages that are reflected are at 90% for two maintenance workers, plus $6,200 for loading snow out of the downtown and removing it. They can only pile it up so far before they have to actually take it out of the downtown. So, as we talked about during all the long discussions, it would make sense to know exactly what we're paying for out of this fund and try to maintain the services as best we can, and we've done that in this budget. Parking control wages are 22% of the two community service officers. The ordinance, just FYI, calls for a two-thirds vote by the Oversight Committee, which is currently the Geneva Downtown Partnership, to increase from 10% to 20% the levy funds for physical improvements not directly related to vehicular parking. The council may appropriate funds up to 10% of the SSA tax levy for the physical improvements, which may not directly be related to vehicular parking. The additional funding required for this comes from the $132 that would be coming from the general fund. So that 10%, 20% threshold is not breached because we're not taking more than that from the SSA number one levy for those purposes outside of the parking lots. We're using general fund money as a subsidy for that. And then, well, I'll wait till I get to that, to the other, so. And in the SSAs, we have many of them. Revenues are a little bit more than what the expenditures are, SSA 16 included. But I will tell you the reason that there's a fund balance are for repairs, because aerators break down, and sometimes there's just equipment repairs that need to be replaced. So there needs to be, between staff discussions and the homeowners associations, they determine what they feel is they're comfortable with keeping in those reserves for repairs. And these funds cover the maintenance contracts for the retention and detention areas primarily. Tax increment financing on East State Street. Revenues at $300,000. Operating budget is $86,000. Capital is $207,000. There's a 13.3% increase in revenue to $290,000 this year. I had a question about the increasing balance. The reason that we have an increasing balance is because we have no TIF projects right now. We've not decided to expend those funds. They have to stay in here. We have to reflect them as reserves unless we're spending them, and we don't have a current project to spend them on. The other thing that I would say is that we're also saving them, as you recall, for the East State Street corridor construction by IDOT. We show interest earned on the reserves because we're required to do so by law and because our auditor says that we have to. And we can only use these funds on TIF-related projects as outlined in the state statutes. If we don't maintain the increasing balance, when IDOT decides to reconstruct Route 38 for those street improvements, parkway improvements that we wanted to make, engineering costs that we will have to absorb, we won't have it. So that's what that's here for. And if there's a worthwhile project, obviously, you know, monies can be spent on that, but we've not been presented with a request at this point for anything. The tree nursery fund revenues $1,800, expenditures $1,500, opening balance 91, closing balance 91. This is used for our parkway trees, for trees on public property. If needed, the fund balance could be used for EAB related expenses. The question was asked, why do we keep this as a separate fund? It originated as the Wheeler Fund. Some of you may have been on the council when that happened. I don't know. It was before my time, 11 years ago. But this fund originated with the Wheeler Fund, which was an endowment which generates interest each year. And then the interest is used to purchase those trees. So that's why it's a separate fund, is because it's separate and apart, because it's strictly an endowment, and we're only spending, we have only spent, as far as I can tell, just the interest. Workers' compensation revenues, $221,500, expenditures a little over $176,000, covers workplace injury claims, and this is required by state statute. There's a question about the balance being the amount that it is, and my response would be, based on staff's knowledge of workers' compensation claims and history, we've been able to project necessary funding throughout the years. Details regarding specific situations and potential settlements have been discussed with the City Council, and staff believes these figures to be indicative of the current condition. And with that, I would be happy to try to answer questions, and we also have staff, other staff here to do the same. We have I'm sorry, I forgot the working cash. This is just a transfer account, basically. Interest is transferred to the general fund for operating expenses, IMRF if shortfalls occur, it really reduces the need to borrow. It's just an account that we can move money in and out to have on hand, basically. Total miscellaneous budgets are 19. We have been, as I said last year, we're continuing to do, we're reallocating wages, we're trying to get a more accurate picture on what we actually spend in the different accounts. The group health insurance and other personnel costs, we're trying to also consolidate so that we don't have as many, so that we don't have as many entries, particularly in payroll. A staff liaison oversees each one of these funds, which enhances the accountability, consistency, and reliability of each one of them. And then with that, I would, again, invite questions from me or any of the other staff members.
What I think we should do, and Mary, I would assume that you'd bless this process as well. Should we go in order of the funds as presented so we're not hopping back and forth?
That might
be. I agree. That would be.
That would probably be less confusing.
Yes.
Plus, I just slept through the whole darn thing, so I was like, oh, man, my legs low. So let's begin with the cemetery fund. Are there any questions regarding that fund? Mr. Pollack?
Thank you, Mayor. Mary, I noticed in the cemetery presentation that the endowed care, we're not contributing to it.
Correct.
And when did that practice start?
I don't know. Before my time.
Weren't contributing to it?
That we weren't contributing.
Yeah, this year I note that we're at...
You have an offer to answer behind you.
Oh. Thank you.
Oh, there it is.
The cemetery fund has always been treated as self-supporting, and it is the policy of the fund to contribute to each of the different, the general fund, which is the operation, the endowed care, which will cover the perpetual use. But in all cases, the fund has been self-supporting. And in the last few years, sales of plots and so forth, activity has dropped. Interest rates on investments have dropped. So in order for the fund to maintain self-sufficiency, I've used the monies within the fund to cover its expenses. It hasn't been supported by the general fund or any other funds. It's been self-supportive. So that has been the policy in the last couple of years, to keep it self-supporting.
In your opinion, when and how much should we start contributing to the endowed care?
Well, the endowed care, I haven't taken from the endowed care. What I've removed is interest, which I'm allowed to take out, and the new development fund. I've used that to keep the operations going. If investments ever pick up and we generate more income out of the fund, then it'll become more self-sufficient that way. But in terms of keeping the fund going without taking from other funds and having the general fund support it, I've kept this policy going, so it's been self-sufficient.
If I might just add one thing, too, to that. Also, you'll see my notes on there, too, about the depletion of those revenues for the cemetery fund. We will eventually complete the sale of plots. And when that happens, there will be no other revenue. I mean, once we finish selling, having revenue, having interest earned on the revenues, that will become a liability fund that we will have to fund completely. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. I don't have any idea of how many graves that it will take for that to happen. I don't know, but it's down the road at some point. So it is something that the council should be aware of, you know, and anticipating.
already happened on the west side cemetery.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Mr. Pollack still has the floor.
And I also want to interject, too. A couple of years ago, we did raise the prices of the cemetery, and we're also going in the next year, so Steve Lamar is also going to review the pricing to see how competitive it is and if increases needed also. So that will provide additional revenues in the future. So, excuse me.
Thanks. And then one other question, Mary, for wages. I understand the explanation that 75% of the sexton's salary comes out of the cemetery, 25% comes out of the street fund. Was there any budget in here? Was there any money budgeted in here for a raise?
2%.
2%. That's all for now, Mayor. Thank you. Thank you.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you. I know that during your presentation you made some sort of comment about new land or development or new development. This fund is not, or the cemetery is not anticipating purchasing any additional land, or there isn't any, or?
At this point in time, there hasn't been any discussion of that, no.
Okay, there hasn't been any discussion, but
no.
Okay, but
there hasn't.
That could be a possibility, maybe?
It could be, but I'm not sure that there's any available to purchase. Are you talking about adjacent to or some?
Yeah.
Okay.
More adjacent to,
yeah,
or a mausoleum-type burial.
Yeah, as far as additional land, I'm not aware that there's any available.
And no one has talked about mausoleum type?
Right.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Because that could also add,
yes,
to the fund.
Could.
Just wondered if there was any discussion on that. Thank you.
Alderman Marks, then Alderman Singer.
Mary, just a quick question. Then does this fund take care of the expenses of the West Side Cemetery also?
Yes.
Or is the West Side just in the general? So this does both?
Yes.
Both cemeteries, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Alderman Singer?
Yes. As a segue to Alderman Flanagan, is there not a sliver of property located just north of the Oak Hill Cemetery that is...
There was something...
I don't know, right?
Which is owned by the city.
There could be. I'm not aware of there being an investigation to purchase more property.
The property is presently owned by the city, I believe.
But there could be additional. Well, we have additional property that hasn't been used.
Yes.
Yes.
That's probably what the area is.
Probably, yes.
Yeah, okay.
It's northwest.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Sure. Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mayor. Oak Hill is the cemetery on the east side. Is that correct?
Yes.
Not looking for a place yet. But, I need to know the name.
Change of address. Not 25 years.
Sam.
I'm going to make it to the 200-year birthday party, by golly. Anyway, it is right next to, I believe, Elm Park. And I know years ago when I was on the park board, there was a concern by one or two aldermen that they thought that the park district ought to give up Elm Park for more space for the cemetery. It certainly fell on deaf ears, and I would suspect it would again, but there is some open space over there. And I think the park district is planning on holding on to it, but it might be an interesting discussion sometime in the future. I'm concerned about the 2% wage increase, and I think this is a figure of 2% that is going to be throughout certain departments, if not all. During this recession or depression that we all know that we're in, I'm just very concerned that we're going to be able to afford that much of an increase to the folks who certainly deserve it. They work hard, I understand that, but there's a lot of people who are getting 100% decreases in their wages in this economy and in this community. We have more and more homes that are foreclosed. Banks have foreclosed on mortgages, and some of these people would be happy with a job with no increase, just to have a job. A friend of mine who's spent a lot of time downtown over the past 30 years or more than 30 years and understands the downtown and have had it verified by a local merchant, feels that there could be a decrease in retail outlets in the year 2010 of anywhere from 10 to 12 businesses, and that is alarming. That means our sales tax revenue would be down, and it would be terribly dramatic, negatively dramatic for the entire community. And that's, I'm just very concerned about the increases here. I know that the sexton works hard, and the other people who might be affected by this same type of an increase are spending a lot of time and effort keeping the city in good shape and good condition. Dry streets in the wintertime and green grass in the summertime. But I would like to suggest that we reconsider this 2% and perhaps reduce it to 1%.
Mr. Mayor, what I would ask is that you not focus on the wages in these budgets. Wait until I bring in the department budgets next week, hopefully next week, if not then the following week, and whatever happens with those budgets can be reflected in these, because we're not having a public hearing until, well, my request is that you would authorize a public hearing to be held for all of the budgets on April 19th. But I think that it's premature to get into that discussion. There are some ancillary wage costs in some of these budgets, but the crux of it is when I present the general fund budgets next week. So again, we can come back and obviously whatever ends up to be a wage increase or not would be reflected in here.
Right.
But I would ask that you would hold off on that and focus on the bottom line of these 19 budgets so that we can move them forward and get into that discussion next week.
Fine. Thank you very much. Good suggestion.
On the cemetery fund?
Yes, please.
Alderman Brown?
You mentioned in the line here on wages, unfortunately I'm mentioning wages again, that most of the increase was because you moved the summer help wages into this line. You moved them from the general budget into the cemetery fund, is that correct?
No, we moved them from a line item.
Which
here.
Line item? I don't see where they disappeared.
It was part of where the group insurance was. That included group insurance and summer help together, which we didn't feel was a true reflection of that line item. So instead of, it was called other related wage or other salary costs, and it was summer help and group health insurance. So we moved the summer help into wages, and then we moved the group health, and we changed the name of that to insurance. Because again, we're trying to truly reflect what the costs are.
The summer help must be a small fraction of that then, because otherwise the numbers don't make sense.
I read that, but I don't recall.
About 3,000?
How many employees?
3,700.
It didn't look like a lot.
Thank you.
Well, anyone else regarding the cemetery fund? We'll move on to the commuter parking fund. The commuter parking fund. And Mary, perhaps just for the heck of it, if you want to throw that general diagram up there, just so we have a beautiful backdrop for discussion purposes.
And for the, this again?
Yeah, the PowerPoint. I don't know if you want the spreadsheet up there or not. I mean, it'd be tough to read, too.
Never read it.
No.
Never read it on
there. Yeah, you're not going to be able to.
And then we'll turn the floor over to Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mary, you indicated that you're going to be replacing the present electronic pay machines with those that are mechanical pay machines, and you anticipate that will be an approximate savings of $4,000 because it will not need to be maintained. When I look at mechanical pay machines, I get the impression that there's got to be some function there that has to be in operating procedures that would have to be maintained.
We have a contract for the $4,000.
Okay.
So that'll go away.
I see.
For the electronic pay machines.
And we won't need a contract for the mechanical pay
machines? We won't need a contract. If we need them to be worked on, which is rare, has been our experience, then we will pay time and materials, but we won't have a contract on them.
I think the word mechanical is perhaps
a little
confusing,
misleading, isn't it?
The machines are not mechanical per se. It's when you put your money in.
Right.
Call it a day.
Yeah.
It's the old-fashioned machines.
It's the old-fashioned
machines. Passive is the
it's
word you're looking for.
It's a slot.
Passive.
Yeah. I didn't want to call them slot machines, Mr. Mayor.
It might work.
Some people may call it that.
Thank you, Mayor Betty Maltese. Alderman.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Alderman Flanagan.
Mary, I'm sorry. I cannot locate where, in which line item, the actual cost of these new machines is going to go into.
On the bottom.
The actual machines, the mechanical, the slot machines, would be purchased this fiscal year.
Oh, purchased it
this fiscal year.
Yes. That's why it's not in here.
Correct.
Makes sense. Thank you.
Mr. Dantino, and then Mr. Marks.
Mary, you mentioned that you would want to transfer some money to the general fund, perhaps in the future?
We do transfer money to the general fund. It's in the budget. What I'm saying is, in order to keep this fund solvent, we may want to stop that practice. Right.
So that would be something council would have to.
Yes. To think, I'm saying now to maybe start thinking about it. I think that we should transfer for this year, as I've shown in this budget. But that's a public policy decision that I'm asking you to consider. Give me some feedback on for the next budget, depending on what you think about it.
What is the transfer this year? I'm missing. Oh, here it is, $134,000.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Thank you.
Alderman Marks?
Mary, just a clarification point. You said we would have some decreased revenue this year because of possibility of the third rail?
I don't know when it's going to be.
But did we calculate that? I guess I wasn't sure. Did you put
No, I didn't.
Okay,
because
fine.
I don't know when it's going to be. I have no idea.
You mentioned that and I wasn't sure. I didn't think you took anything out.
Yeah, no. They're talking about Union Pacific Metro, when UP comes through with the third rail, they're saying that we're going to lose approximately just under 100 spaces, which would equate to about $30,000 for us. As I understood it, they were talking about this calendar year sometime, which now would mean our upcoming fiscal year, I'm assuming, that they might be able to do the engineering.
Okay.
But the construction, could it happen in the next fiscal year? I suppose that it could.
I just didn't understand. I thought maybe something was in this.
Well, I've spoken with them recently, and they're planning on coming in and giving the council a presentation and an update. Right now, I just don't have any.
And when they do that, we'll probably see a drop in the lease payments then also, won't we? I mean, aren't we leasing some of that?
We are, yes.
That's all.
Yes, I have mentioned
it. I didn't understand if she had taken something in consideration there.
Alderman Brown.
Is this one of the enterprise funds? You mentioned there were three more enterprise funds in this. There was in these small funds.
Yes, because this is a revenue generating.
So it's the cemetery fund, the commuter fund. Which is the other one?
Electric, water.
And you said there were five. So there must
refuse.
Be. Refuse is also an enterprise fund.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. So that restricts fund transfers. That restricts funds transfers between the funds if they're an enterprise.
Right.
But doesn't completely restrict them because we do transfer from this one into the general fund.
Correct. We do. General fund is different, but you can't transfer between water and commuter.
So I did ask a general question, which applied to all of these, which is to what extent are all these balances fungible, in that if a real emergency occurs in one of them, the other funds can be pilfered by the city council. The city council promised that they would reallocate the funds when they become available.
Reallocate?
Yes.
It would be a loan.
Right. Yeah. For the enterprise funds,
just
it would be considered
the wrong word. Loan is the correct
yes.
word.
Yes.
Just repeat the question and the answer, because I know there's people watching it. I hate to have... That's a great question. That's a tremendous answer.
The question is, the sum of all these funds, the sum of the balances in all these funds actually adds up to a fairly large amount of money, which if there was a very large emergency in one of them, that fund could not possibly cover with its balance. Is the city council allowed to make loans from one fund to the other temporarily, crossing fiscal boundaries in order to ameliorate the problem in that particular fund?
Yes, but my understanding is it would need to be a short-term loan, theoretically paid back with in that fiscal year, if possible.
With or without interest?
Well, that would be up to you.
But it is possible.
It is possible.
It would require a motion of the council,
yes.
And it would be public knowledge that we are moving between one.
Yes.
We are depleting one fund in order to rescue another.
Right, as a loan.
Thank you. I think that's important, because the sum of all these balances adds up to a big number, even though there are 19 small funds.
Mm-hmm.
The sum of all the balances, to me, was a very large number. And it's money that came from the taxpayer and is sitting in the city's coffers.
And those monies are invested, too. So not that we're earning a lot, but
yes,
they are invested.
Thank you.
From the dais on the commuter parking fund? From the audience. Now, you have to join us this time. Last time I gave you a break, man.
Yeah.
Well, you do, because I hate to, at least, yeah, if you could,
Frank.
Well, we all know who this fine gentleman is, but.
I'm just curious, the $30,000, is it in perpetuity, or is it just for the period of construction?
No, it would be forever, because those spaces would be gone.
So it's going to be on the north side of the two rails?
South.
Because that's, you know, when you go under the footbridge, you can see where the gap is. So, just curious, so are we eating into the houses that are on that side?
No, it's all within their right-of-way.
The UP right-of-way.
The UP right-of-way, correct.
No. Yeah. Most people don't realize that the south rail is actually the center rail
right.
of the three. The south rail is in the middle of the right-of-way.
But when you're under the footbridge office, you can look up and see where the gap is.
Right. Anyone else on the commuter parking fund? Moving on to the debt service fund. Questions or comments? I've always found this one to be the most exciting.
Really?
No questions, no comments. We'll move forward. On to the dental group claims fund. Alderman Dantino.
Mayor, you said our singles are $33 and family was $88.
We pay $70
and
yes.
we pay 100% of the single.
For single. Right.
70% of the family.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And November renewal.
Okay. Correct.
All right, that's all I need. Thank you.
Anyone else? And just, I don't know if a lot of people know this or not, but on Friday afternoons, Mary and Stephanie actually perform crown work and others just to help keep it close.
They wear the crown, don't they?
Alderman Singer.
Thank you. Mary, what interests me is the concept we have regarding this wellness program. You know, it's interesting to me that oftentimes some companies offer programs similar to this in which they are then able to have their medical costs reduced because they offer such things as this to their employees. Has that ever been a consideration of our provider of medical?
You mean that Blue Cross would give us a break because of this?
Yes.
We have talked to them. We talked to them about that years ago, but their feeling is you're going to end up with less claims because of the health and benefits fair, the wellness program.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, that's saving you money. And we had one of our employees stand before the council several years ago and explain that by participating in that wellness program, it saved his life,
yes.
Literally.
Yes, I remember that.
So.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you. Reserve deposits, apparently in 2007-08 and 2008-09, we didn't use it, and then all of a sudden last year we did. what was the reserve deposits from? Yeah, where did it come from, I guess, last year? And it doesn't appear in this year's budget, but it was just...
That was a transfer.
Oh, it was.
Yes. Trying to think.
That was general fund?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was that general fund that we transferred to cover expenses?
I think Don might want to have a front row seat up here, man.
I like to walk.
You're going to wear the flooring off.
We did an accrual for future claims. The auditors made an adjustment several years ago, and the fund is depleting, slowly depleting, so I did a transfer. We cover workers' comp from all of the insurance of the city, and I made a budgeted to do a transfer this year to cover, keep the fund from going negative. We don't like to have a negative fund balance.
Okay.
So that was a transfer done to keep the fund in balance and whole for any, you know, for future.
And it was allowed to do that.
And it was a one-time kind of thing.
And I know Mary said that she was going to take the wellness program and put it somewhere else.
In the department's
yes.
budgets, so that each department is covering the cost depending on the number of employees from their individual departments. We thought that that was more appropriate and more fair.
Mm-hmm. Anything else on the dental groups claims fund? On to the fire facilities fund.
I have just a quick question.
Yes, Alderman Flanagan.
When is this going to end? Do we know?
When the fund balance is depleted and when developers discontinue giving us impact fees.
Okay.
Which has slowed down considerably, as you know.
Yeah, I was just wondering when it was. Okay, thanks.
Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mary, I hope we don't have a pie-in-the-sky approach to this concept as much as contributions by our developers, because that doesn't seem to be something that we would hope to look forward to, certainly. Have we taken into consideration that scenario?
Yes. That's why it's only $5,000.
Okay.
You can look back over the years. A couple of years ago, it was
$30,000,
and 16, and 15.
I see.
That's why it's five.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Anyone else on the fire facilities fund?
We have both new fire stations, and we believe that's all we need for build-out. So
right.
That's what this fund was set up to do.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Build two new fire stations.
On to the fire pension fund. Which is pretty much straightforward, thanks to Springfield.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Alderman Vogelsberg, then Alderman Pollack.
Well, Mary, I just had a question about the financing. I know we don't have any choices in how it's funded, but on the real estate tax bill, it's a separate line item, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. But we're, because of the tax cap for the whole city, we can only assess so much? Is that it?
They are part of the calculation.
Okay.
Everything has to fall under the tax cap, and this is one of many that fall within that tax cap, as well as police pension. And
would that be different if we were home rule? Or no?
We wouldn't have the tax cap.
We wouldn't necessarily have
the tax cap if we were home rule.
Okay. And here's a question that's not really up, but a lot of people want to know. How come the school district is able to assess so much of a higher levy than we are?
Because we have more people.
Bigger district.
We have a huge district.
Yeah, their EAV
is much
larger than ours. We're confined to
more than just the city, Geneva. Inter-
right.
Okay.
They've got
Thank
their
you.
District boundaries are much larger than ours.
Annex now.
Alderman Pollack, then Mr. Dantino, you have your hand up?
No,
oh, then Singer.
Thank you, Mayor. Mary, quick question regarding the replacement tax funds. This one is, you have at 11%, IMRF is at 32%, and police pensions at 25%.
That was a policy set by the council years ago.
And this replacement tax fund, is this monies from the state?
Yes.
What concerns me about this is, after attending the recent school board meeting, where they're expecting to get maybe 50% from the state, what are your thoughts on us actually being paid by the state?
That's a whole other meeting.
That is a whole other meeting. I mean, and obviously we are lobbying, so to speak, our legislators every day. We are concerned about a sweep of municipal funds, not just the replacement tax, but all of the distributive funds. And through Metro West in particular, actually Metro West just hired a lobbyist. To speak to this specific issue along with pensions and unfunded mandates and so on and so forth, but sweeping distributive funds is obviously one of our greatest concerns. So they are on top of that. As legislative chair of Metro West, my committee and myself are constantly in communications with our legislators, and several of our committee or council members have also been, yourself included, very active as of late to contact our legislators and talk to them about these issues. So it's anyone's guess right now what's going to happen. Probably won't know much until after the election this fall, is my guess.
My concern is, and I certainly know what you have been doing with Metro West and the city, and we are greatly appreciative. My concern is, though, if we don't receive the proper funding from the state, the pension funds will shrink even more.
Very good observation.
When we don't know when this is going to end. You know, Sam alluded to raises earlier. I mean, I just don't see what's our plan B for these pension funds if we don't receive the funding. I mean, would you say, okay, reduce 11%?
We have an obligation by state statute. We are supposed to be funding them at 100%. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
We're not doing that. We're doing the best that we can.
Right.
So those funds will, fund balances will continue to probably fall, and even more so once the number of retirees increase and start the withdrawal. Obviously, investments, you know, return on investments plays into that. But we need some relief at the state level. We have no control over the rules. We have to live by them. So it's up to our state legislators to make those changes to give us some relief in order to address those issues.
And I understand we have to contribute. There's no doubt about that. But if we're not receiving the monies that we're anticipating from the state, it has to come from another source from within the city. Correct?
It has to come within the tax levies, yes.
Okay.
Or from the tax levies. I mean, you can transfer from the general fund, you know, assuming you've got other, you know, some elasticity in your funds and you're receiving income tax or sales taxes in the amounts that you can transfer into those, and we do that, but that's to subsidize as much as we can. There may come a time when we're no longer able to do that, but even so, we're still in those two pension funds below what we're supposed to be.
So as we are here tonight, we're in essence saying to the firemen and the policemen and the municipal workers, fire MRF, that we're going to contribute 11%, but it's contingent upon coming from the replacement tax. Correct?
That's what we've been doing historically, yes,
okay,
for the fire pension.
And if we don't receive that money, then
we won't contribute.
Then we won't contribute. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Singer, Mr. Hill, Mr. Piper, Mr. Dantino.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mary, my question is in regards to administrative costs. How is there a selection process as in regards to the financial advisor?
Ron, this is all done by the pension board.
Yes.
And the city, we don't really have any say over that. Don Weiss sits on the police pension board, mm-hmm. and Pat McQueenie sits
right.
on the fire pension board. Other than that, it is, I believe, fire employees or previous employees that sit on that, and they make those decisions.
Okay.
Those costs are for financial advisors, actuaries, and
right.
so on and so forth.
And they also provide their own auditing service? They
yes.
contract for that as
yes.
well? Our auditor, our city auditor, doesn't... We hire to do our auditing.
They do. We do include it as part of our audit, but they hire their own actuary.
Oh, actuaries. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Alderman Hill. Alderman Piper.
Mary, either you informed me or I read it in one of those monthly magazines from the state. Aren't there some communities, or maybe I read in the newspaper, that have contributed very small amounts to these fire pensions and police pensions, and they owe a greater percentage of replacement taxes than we do? Or am I off base on that?
I don't know, Sam.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know what other communities' funding ratios are.
Yeah.
I know everybody's struggling, just like we are, yeah. you know, at 70-80% of where they should be. I would say that some towns are worse than others.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have any specifics.
I think what Sam's alluding to is in the most recent periodical we received, it had a list of all the downstate pension, police and fire pension funding amounts, and we're doing pretty good. There's a lot of communities that, let's face it, aren't going to make it. And I guess the question Sam's alluding to is what happens then? You know,
that's their problem.
Well, right.
But
that's not going to happen.
But the
there are no answers to that question.
Mm-hmm. Right. Any progress on those bills that we're lobbying about?
All the legislation scheduled to be pulled from committee by this Friday, the deadline,
mm-hmm.
and then voted upon by the House and or Senate next week. But it is an avalanche. We got news again today, which all of you probably received via Mary and or Mary Randall. I mean, even Governor Quinn is thinking of taking a slice of the pie that comes to the municipalities. So it's incredible. So.
Right, and that's a good point, Mayor. That is something that if each and every one of you and all of our citizens could contact the governor's office, the way that it works right now is that 10% of the total income tax for the state of Illinois is set aside for municipalities. And out of that 10% pool, it's distributed on a per capita basis. And he is proposing that perhaps that 10% be reduced to 7%. And that would be a considerable loss for us. These distributive funds, whether it's income taxes or motor fuel taxes or the replacement tax in addition to the sales taxes, all of that lends itself to holding down property taxes. The more diverse our tax base is, and assistance through sales taxes or income taxes or any of those other taxes that we receive other than directly from our citizens and property taxes helps hold down those property taxes. Not a good thing for us to lose 3% or the state municipalities in general to lose 3% of the income tax.
In dollars and cents, what would that impact
on us? I don't know, Ray. I don't know. Right off the top of my head. Because it's a state figure. It's not just the city of Geneva.
Right.
It's for all of the state, and I don't know.
And what's most disturbing about that proposal that allegedly will be offered by the governor on Wednesday during his budget speech is that the governor has used the language that the municipalities should share in the pain as well. And what's dumbfounding about that statement is that we share in the penalties and the pain every day when our legislatures pass new enhanced pension programs that we have to pick up. So, I mean, the governor's out of touch.
Yeah.
Both Republicans and Democrats are out of touch. I mean, it's folly.
Well, in addition to that, we do have a balanced budget every year.
Right.
And we stay within budget.
Exactly.
So.
Well, it's election season, so Brady Quinn is not the quarterback of Notre Dame. It's the gubernatorial contest in Illinois. So.
Cleveland.
What?
Move to Cleveland.
Thank God. So should those two. Who has the floor? Let's see. Mr. Piper declined to comment.
That was a fumble.
Alderman Dantino.
Thank you. This might be a dumb question, but I'll ask it anyway. We're only expected to pay out $116,000 this year.
For
pension payments.
Pension payments, yes.
That is for a retiring or all the retired firemen.
Yes.
$8 million.
Seems like an $8 million fund can go on forever if that was your only expenses.
That's what we were told by the pension board.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we use the information that they provide us. But this is, the $8 million is not just for those two or three that are retired. This is for all of them working now, putting money into the retirement. So these are current employees as well as retirees.
Retirees.
Mm-hmm.
But the payments haven't substantially gone up over the last 4 to 5 years. And
they will.
They will.
There is in the fire. There is in the fire department, if I may use the analogy, a baby boomer generation that will be retiring pretty soon, and that fund balance will take a significant hit. There's no question about it. I'm certain the chief could probably echo that. But so I can tell by him not moving, he's clearly echoing that. So. Alderman Dantino has the floor still.
I am done. Thank you.
Alderman Marks.
Mayor, will you allow me just to ask a question generally on all the pension funds?
No. No,
I'm just kidding. No, I just want...
Of course.
I guess my question, I just want some clarification. You know, we see the IMRF 100% funded. We see the fire pension about 80%, and we see the police at 69%. Is that just because of previous council setting the rate of the replacement funds, or that we didn't...
That's primarily the return on investments.
It is.
IMRF board invests for IMRF. Every single municipality has its own police pension board and its own fire pension board, assuming they have a fire department, and they invest.
Okay.
They make those investments.
So it's really
those investments are very strictly laid out in the state statutes. There's only certain types of and levels of investments that they can make.
Okay.
Did you want to speak to that? Or I don't.
No, I didn't
Chief Olson might be able to
answer. That's a great question.
You're making less payments to each fund, or if it was something that we were doing?
It's based on the return of the investments.
Primarily, it's the return on the investment. So,
okay.
Yeah, do you want to?
Mr. Mark still has the floor, so.
It's like 2% return.
For the fire pension fund, we're limited to about 30% of the assets can be to. Investment in the stock market, so we have mutual fund items like, such as that, but everything else is government-backed securities, so the other 70% is, and that's based by the investment plan that the board approved several years ago. So, there's five members on the board for the fire department. That changed recently. It was seven, and through a change in the state act, it was reduced down to three. There's three that are elected, two active, one retired, and then the other two are appointed by the mayor, which is actually Pat McQueenie and Don over here.
Okay.
Which we made that appointment just a few months ago.
Yeah. So we have control of, the mayor controls two, and the rest are automatically set by statute of who sits on that board then.
Right, well, they're elected from the membership.
Oh, from the membership, okay. Yeah. That's fine. All right.
But that's, it is outlined in the statute.
Okay, yeah, it's all by the statute.
I didn't know that, so that's why I was asking. One other question I have, and it'll probably go to all the funds. I mean, I see the revenues are real estate. I answered my own question. That's fine. I see it. Forget it. I saw it. Don't worry about it. That's fine.
Dr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mayor, you used the word obligation to have 100% funding in these funds. Something that I and maybe some of the people listening would like to know is, does that mean we are in violation of state law or we are in violation of the spirit of state law?
We are in, to my knowledge, we're not in violation of state law. I know that IMRF, for example, is their recommendation that...
The recommendations, not ordinance laws.
Right, right.
So it is possible for cities, for reasons that they consider more important, to allow these funds to drop below 100%.
It's not recommended?
It's not recommended, but it is possible. We are not
possible.
In violation of the law. That's very important, because if the legislature ever moved to the point where they made it a violation of the law.
And I will say that...
Clearly be in disaster.
I will say that about IMRF. Now, I'll have to double check on fire and police. Those I'm not sure of. With IMRF, it is the recommendation of the IMRF board that they be 100% funded.
But again...
Chief, do you know? Is it a recommendation?
Yes.
Okay. That's a recommendation then, too.
It would seem to me that that would be something silly that politicians could do and would absolutely hamstring a city if they ever made it law instead of just a recommendation.
Well, the problem is if you start drawing down on those reserves to use them for something else, let's say a loan from those, I'm not sure that we have the authority to do that. Maybe not putting in as much, but I don't believe that we can touch those reserves.
I was intending it to mean in a year where there is some kind of other disaster that the city could cut back on its contributions.
Okay.
Not steal from the fund, but cut back on its contribution.
Right.
Thank you. That clears that up. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else in the dais regarding the fire facilities fund, or excuse me, fire pension fund? Forgive me. We'll move on to the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund, a four-letter word, IMRF. Questions or comments?
That one's pretty straightforward. It's 100%. That one we like is 100%.
How about the next fund, the erstwhile 708 fund, now known as the Mental Health Board Fund. The Mental Health Board is meeting tomorrow night for anyone interested in attending that meeting. And I know from its chairman, Vicki Davidson-Bell, that they are scheduled to discuss the possibility of some future capital project. So that could be an interesting discussion. Alderman Vogelsberg?
Thank you, Mayor. And Mary, I think during your presentation you said the Mental Health Board is the 708 board. They make all their decisions.
Correct.
On all the funding or savings, right?
The City Council makes the decision on the total levy amount. What they do with the money, as long as it falls within state statute, is their choice, not the Council's choice.
Thank you.
Anyone else on the Mental Health Board fund?
Right.
I'm sorry, Alderman Flanagan, excuse me.
Quick question. You mentioned that they could allocate 15% towards capital investments, or what term did you use?
Their policy has been...
Their policy.
Has been to save 15%.
Could they decrease or increase that?
This year they're decreasing that to 10%.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's the distribution. That's not. That's right. Not the.
The total levy is 155,000. Of that, they're distributing, or they in their budget, 139,000.
The balance
would go into their fund balance.
I was just wondering
capital.
If they had control over that percentage up or down. So.
Yes, they do, but because the levy is lower this year, they're. Theoretically, now they can change this, but theoretically they would keep the same amount of distributive funds.
Right, and then put the...
And
balance,
put
whatever.
5% less than they would like to in their savings account.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Polak.
Thanks, Mayor. The question was asked, but I just wanted to be for certain that the Mental Health Board will still be able to distribute the amount of funds that they did last year without an increase this year.
If they so choose.
Without an increase in...
The levy?
Correct. I mean, their cap is to how much they can distribute.
Their cap is the levy, which is $155,000. They can distribute all of that if they want to.
Okay.
What's their balance if they so chose?
Or none of it.
Or well, none of it, exactly.
Right.
Their fund balance?
Yes. Exactly.
Plus their balance, you're saying.
They could distribute their levy plus their fund balance if they so chose.
They could. Mm-hmm. Their fund balance, their opening fund balance is $80,000.
Right.
The number 139 is the average of what it reflects what was
distributed last year.
Distributed last year, exactly.
Right. So we're looking at, again, for 2010-11, a distribution of approximately $139,000, but if they wanted, they could.
Yeah, sure could.
Mm-hmm. Great, thanks.
And there's no question the needs out there.
Well, I know that.
There's certainly a challenge.
That's why I'm...
Mr. Dantino.
The decrease in the levy was made, I think, prior to me being on the as an alderman, but was that a permanent decrease or what?
The levy is set every year.
Okay.
So it's determined each and every year.
Because I know there was some discussion on that at the meeting.
Actually, Don and I went to, and the mayor, went to their January meeting and explained the levy and the proposed budget and the level of funds for distribution that they would have.
Okay. And they do have currently $80,000 in fund balance, so that could be toward another project at this point if they so choose.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else on the Mental Health Board Fund?
Oh, my gosh.
From the audience, anyone? On to motor fuel tax.
Mm-hmm.
Questions or comments? This is a fun one.
It's a pass-through.
Yeah, pretty much.
This was the opportunity to ask the question of why the balance, because this is a pass-through fund. So
the obvious question is why the balance if this is a pass-through fund?
This balance is very large compared to the size of the fund.
$170,000 closing balance. I don't know. I can't answer that. Don, can you?
It's built up over the years from interest and on the fund, and we always try to maintain a reserve balance in our funds. That revenue number is not a guaranteed number. That's what we're anticipating revenues for next year from the state of Illinois. That could be zero next year. So if you get zero and we... then that fund balance could be gone in 1 year. So that's just grown over the years from interest and trying to maintain a fund balance.
The question is, of course, it's a matter of policy how big the balance should be. And I'm asking not you, but the council, does this look like a big balance? I agree with you that it's in some sense our choice how much money we should leave in the various accounts. If this is a pass-through account, why is this one of the bigger percentages of our fund balances?
The amount of MFT is decreasing over the years as well. So we're receiving, assuming we continue to receive, it's likely that we'll continue to receive less, at least for some time to come.
But this is one of the fund balances which I presume is fungible. And if an emergency occurred within the city, one could tap this.
I don't believe so. I believe that this is restricted only to certain infrastructure.
So it would have to be a road infrastructure emergency.
Yes, correct.
And the funds are restricted.
Right. So, yeah, the state is very strict about that. It's in a separate account. They put them in a separate account than our pooled funds. So when we transfer
it's not an enterprise fund, but it's a restricted fund.
Correct. That's correct. Yeah. Right.
Any other questions on the motor fuel tax fund? We'll move on to Prairie Green. Well, yeah. I don't have any questions on the particular streets. I noticed that Dawn Street's being redone.
Well, that was voted on about a month ago.
I waited 6 years.
You can wait another six, for God's sake. Prairie Green, Mr. Maladra.
Well, my only question is the wisdom of relying on grants, wetland credits. Do you really think we're going to get something?
Yeah.
your dollar, we don't.
I mean, is this a hope? I think the question earlier, is this a hope, a dream, or is this a likely?
Yes, we had one inquiry here in recent months on a project that is being worked on by a local engineering consulting firm, and they're doing the engineering work on it. And I want to say it was they were dealing with fractions of an acre. I think it was almost a half acre. But that's the only interest we've seen so far. We just received last week written authorization on the release of our first group of wetland credits from the Army Corps of Engineers. So that triggered our wetland being placed on the Army Corps of Engineers website as a potential credit bank that can be accessed for credits. But it's a function of the economy, and it's a function of federal projects and state projects that require wetland mitigation. So I don't think 1 acre is unreasonable at this point, but we really, you know, it is a question as to what we incorporate in there. But I think it's a reasonable amount to incorporate in the budget.
Okay. Is that list nationwide for the Corps of Engineers?
It's on the district website.
So people in Colorado and Florida know it's available.
Well, the credits, when we're selling credits within that cover developments within the watershed in the region here. So so the sale area has a geography to it.
Thank you.
Dick?
Yeah, Mr. Pollack and Mr. Singer.
Thanks, Dick. Now, aside from us, who else is offering wetland bank credits, and who fixes the price?
There are a number of banks in the immediate area here. I don't have the exact number, but there's at least a half a dozen.
You can find it on their website.
Yeah, they're all shown on the website.
But I see $45,000 for 1 acre. Is someone else out there selling 1 acre wetland credits for?
The values move around a little bit because our credits are uncertified. It's because our wetlands is in the process of growing and developing into a full-fledged wetland. The Corps has two categories where the wetland credits are either certified or uncertified, and ours are uncertified until our wetland is further along.
And when is that anticipated to be?
We are on the second year of a 5-year program, monitoring program, that we're required to be in by the Army Corps of Engineers. And our first report was filed with them over this last year. You approved a contract last year to do that monitoring. We'll have that same contract again this year coming up to continue that monitoring effort.
So what's our selling feature for someone to buy an uncredited?
Well, it doesn't really reflect drastically so a difference in value, although what I've seen on other banks is that the certified credits are slightly higher in value than uncertified, but it's still bona fide credits that we can sell. And the understand that the credit values are a function of the market, and what I've seen on some of the websites is that those prices are bouncing between $30,000 and $60,000 an acre. So at this point, we're thinking around $45,000 or $50,000 an acre, and actually, we need to set up a meeting and make that determination internally, and then proceed to market our credits.
Great, thank you.
Mr. Singer and Mr. Merks.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dick, that they pretty much are market-driven. But other than that, there's two projects that are somewhat coming online here within our community. One in Mill Creek, and then one right over here at Randall and Caneland. Will that have a reflection on their need of any wetland credits?
The one on off of Kesslinger that you're speaking of, that one has no wetlands that I'm aware of on the property, so there wouldn't be any requirement for credits there. I'm not sure about the Mill Creek project. It's outside the city, but that would, if they needed wetland credits, that would be a possibility.
Because that would be within our watershed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Mr. Marks.
So, Mary, if I'm looking at this, and correct me if I'm wrong, if we don't sell a wetland bank sales, we've just wiped out the whole fund.
Correct. That's correct.
And plus, we'd have to put something into it almost, it looks like, because of the property taxes and the abatement.
Right. Yes.
That is a very scary thought, people.
Any other questions on Prairie Green or comments? We move on to Police Pension Fund. Remember, these people carry guns.
I think we got those all out of our system.
Okay.
No, I just look. I mean,
Mr. Pollack.
I would just like to say, you know, the police pension fund is worse off than the fire department pension fund, and I think we have a real obligation to fund it as best we can, but to rely on the state is just very scary.
That's they all. Have more retirees.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They're withdrawing more.
Okay.
Can you put that back to the police pension fund screen, Mary, if you could for a second? And you're right, Ray, you're absolutely right. It is shocking that the amount of legislation coming out of Springfield to enhance both the police and the fire pension for no other reason but, in my humble opinion, to garner votes for the next election cycle. And it's coming from both sides of the aisle.
And if I might, Mayor, you know, I've been calling them pretty regularly for the last couple of weeks, and to say that our requests are falling on deaf ears, it's just sickening. It's simply election year posturing, and nothing's getting done. So,
Mr. Mayor, if I could, too, just a point of clarification. There's been, as of late, numerous articles in newspapers about public employee pensions. But I think that what's not being stated is that public employee pensions at the state level are completely different than public employee and public safety pensions at the local level. Our pensions don't go through state funding system whatsoever. And I think that sometimes it's being a little bit blurred in the press. So I just wanted to
differentiate. Yeah, because the word pension has taken on its own
life.
Yeah, life. It's just incredible.
People hear pension, they think it's funded solely by the state, when in fact it's not. It's funded by each individual municipality.
Correct.
And it's highly ironic that some of our legislators who are seeking re-election, actually, if they're successful, actually receive a pension. Strangest thing, isn't it?
Go figure.
Mr. Singer.
I don't mean to cast aspersions on any of our state representatives.
By the way, it's a free country.
We seem to happen to have one that...
They're not listening.
We seem to have one presently that represents us that is also a volunteer fireman. So I wonder if there's any issues here that should be addressed in some manner or form as to...
we've heard from our legislators directly that they find it very difficult to say no when their offices are replete with firefighters and police officers.
Yeah, I remember.
There's nobody in this room that doesn't respect firefighters or police officers. No question about it. But at least the legislators are honest to say, I just can't say no. I mean, it's mind-boggling. There's one legislator that won't even take the call or even heed the advice of a council member in this room because he is so entrenched in politics that he's willing to take personal satisfaction and gain over policy rules, but he's as shallow as Prairie Green wetland, so what the hell?
Yeah.
I'm going to say excluded the name on that one. I'm sure we'll hear from
another hour, it'll be up.
Anyone else? Mr. Singer?
No, I'm ready to go on a refuge.
No, this is refuse.
Refuge too.
This is refuse.
This is actually a good transition, talking about
Alderman
state politics
Alderman
and refuse. This is good.
Alderman Piper?
Mr. Piper, on the police pension?
Please.
Yes, sir.
Mayor, just real quick, I know we talked about you'd have to increase tax levies, but we have our hands tied on those as to there's a cap, isn't there?
Yes.
We're rocking a hard place on what to do with that.
Yes, we are.
We can do it.
Okay. Thank you.
I mean, the only way to fix it is to take more out of the general fund. I mean, that's what the box they've put us in.
Oh, absolutely.
Out of our own general fund.
I'll
speak in the...
Or borrow from the fund itself, or
use the general fund. I mean, the state has put us in this box. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. As they continue to make these benefits sweeter and sweeter, it's just going to get harder and harder to do this. And the only way to do it is they've got to fix these funds, and it's probably not going to happen until something calamity happens.
But we can't rely on them to fix it because they're not going to do it. So it's going to be incumbent upon us, like everything else, to start at the grassroots level, just like no smoking in public.
But they set the rules.
They do. But we're going to have to somehow come up with the money from our general fund to support these pensions, which is rightfully owed.
Well, just raise the taxes. Everybody will love that.
But you can't.
You can't because
you can't.
Can't.
Your hands are tied. That's what I'm saying. The only way to do this is to cut expenditures in someplace else and take it out of the general fund to get these, other than hope that the investments really skyrocket, which, you know, I doubt that's going to really happen. But realistically, that is the box we are in here. And until, you know, our senators and state representatives down in Springfield understand what they're doing to everybody, it's not going to get any better.
It's a zero-sum game.
It is.
We've got 80 pegs and 100 holes. Where do you want the pegs?
That's right.
So what do we tell our citizens? We're going to cut your services?
No, but I mean, that's the one place we have a little bit of oomph. Not that it's going to solve any problems, but it's better than not having the sales tax.
If the state gives it back to us.
But I would venture to guess that if every adult citizen in the city called our local legislators, they would get the message.
We would get the message, right. But that's what it's going to take.
Yes, it is.
It is really, truly going to take that, and I don't see that groundswell yet happening. I don't think people realize what is really, truly happening here. And I think we need to teach them, and we have to use these forms too, because realistically, if we don't pay it now, somebody else along the way is going to end up paying it.
But it is ironic, isn't it, that we could host a legislative forum sponsored by the Metro West Council of Government, and every legislator in that room spoke passionately about the pension crisis in Springfield. And then at least two of those legislators co-signed a pension enhancement bill in Springfield about a month ago. So, I mean, the old adage, you know they're lying because their lips are moving, is right on the mark.
Yep.
They got a free breakfast. It was under the $25 limit. They told us one thing, and they went and did something different. It's extraordinary.
Let's secede.
Alderman Rick Perry, you have the floor.
No. Let's transfer to Indiana.
You want to go to Wisconsin, don't you, right?
You know, let's just call us Texas.
There is another solution, which has been suggested by some in the paper, of course, which is to reduce the size of both your police and your fire department. That does help the problem in the long run. It frees up general funds in order to pay the pensions for the people that you've already promised pensions to. Look, the public would have to come to us with that request, because at the moment the size of our fire and police department is based on accepted national standards, and the public would really have to face themselves in the mirror and ask whether they were willing to decrease the size of their public safety component of their taxes in order to solve this problem, to pay what's promised to the people who have already been providing public safety for them. That has been suggested in the paper, and that is another solution. If people do not want to pay any more, then we have to decrease the services.
What about throwing the scoundrels out of office? That's a solution.
And these are promises that have already been made to people that have already served as public safety.
You know what a second Alderman Singer's revolution?
I think the problem there is whoever comes in is still stuck with a state that's broke.
Yeah.
These are underfunded for obligations that already exist.
That's right.
That's the question of increasing the obligations. Right. These are underfundings for obligations that already exist.
Anything else on the police pension fund?
The only thing I would add is that with regard to the state or the national standards, our police department is already below that.
Right. I was going to reference
that. I should have mentioned that. You're correct.
On to the refuse fund.
Looking for work.
Hire somebody.
Questions or comments regarding the refuse fund? Mr. Singer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mary, will you be kind enough to explain this expenditure regarding group insurance? What does that cover?
Health insurance.
Sure. Health insurance?
That's for the alderman who helped with the leaf pickup.
All right. Well,
that's what screwed up.
If we are going, if we're privatizing the refuge service, then those individuals who are employed in that capacity will not be functioning in that capacity. So why do we have to have an insurance for them?
Because there's administrative.
Because there's some allocation of some employees' wages in there, and the group health allocations follow the wages. There are several of us. For example, I believe some of my wages are allocated to this fund.
Okay.
We've seen you raking. Yep.
Yes.
Same percentage of
yes.
Same percentage of insurance goes in as the wages.
Right.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah, okay.
Relative to what the wages are.
Yes, yeah. Pro-rated amount. So for any of those wages, then right. Corresponding group yeah. Insurance.
Okay. Thank you.
It
thank you, Mr. Mayor.
There's a reallocation here.
Right.
Yeah.
There was a 39% increase, and it states it was a reallocation.
There was a reduction in the wages. This is the first year, though, for the group insurance line item that we actually went through each specific line item and each specific employee and allocated it out. In the past, it was just an estimate, so we were trying to get better costs. So we went through, and so it looks like a huge increase, but the reality is probably in the past they hadn't allocated it correctly.
Thank you.
Anyone else on the refuse fund?
Garbage out of here.
SSA number one, downtown business district. This has been the subject of much discussion of late.
Go ahead, Ralph.
Questions or comments from anyone on the dais? From the audience?
We may have fixed this one.
SSA 4,579,000,000. Well, lighten up, McKittrick. I'm just trying to, you know.
But she was just a break.
There's a question from Mr. Singer on other SSAs.
Yes, I do have one, Mr. Rager. Thank you. Regarding SSA number 5, the Williamsburg SSA, I had suggested some time ago that we include the cost of snow removal from the Williamsburg streetscape and also the street sidewalks that moves from Williamsburg to Sheffield. And has that been something that has been included in the cost of this product?
Yes.
For the SSA 5?
Yes, it has been.
Very good. I appreciate that very much. And so does Dorothy Flanagan and our constituents as well.
I believe that we incorporated that this fiscal year.
This fiscal year?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome.
Question on that?
Mr. Hill, on the other SSAs. Yes, sir.
A question on that. Please clarify me now. Is that in relation to the school?
No.
New school?
Okay. No. It's the sidewalk that is on the north side of the street that runs along the
detention.
Retention pond.
At the end of Northampton Drive?
Correct.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
No, wait a minute. No.
Huh?
Well, not the end of Northampton Drive.
Yes. Yeah, where Northampton and Williamsburg intersect.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's so yes. My father can take his walks.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dad, if you're watching. SSA number 16.
Thank you.
Fisher Farms.
We approve that.
Mm-hmm. That's a very strong homeowners association out there.
Yes, it is.
It's
Dick works very closely.
Yes, he does. It's amazing. Thanks for skipping right over that, Mary. Appreciate it. TIF number 2, East State Street.
No, explain that.
The Tree Nursery Fund, erstwhile the Wheeler Fund. There were some questions that Mary had answered, I think, during the presentation. But Mr. Singer.
Yeah, I've been wondering. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I see that how have the issues regarding our ash borer, is there would the replacement of those trees come out of this nursery fund?
Well, this would contribute to that, but I don't... know, Dan, if you want to address that or not, but Steve Lemire has a program, an ongoing program to address the EAB issue.
Yes.
So within his department budget, and obviously these funds could be used if necessary.
It's interesting that you've only expended, what, $1,500 in this last fiscal year. There have been more ash trees removed than that.
This is just a small portion of the fund. The street department has a forestry fund by itself, and that's where the bulk of the trees are replaced.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I follow up and ask Dan a question while he's up? And this is sort of an anachronism, this fund, because the amount you spend on trees each year is vastly larger than this.
Sure is.
So the question is, why have we allowed $90,000 to accumulate in it?
I think that was the lot of endowment that Wheeler's made back 11 years ago.
So what we're doing is just keeping the size of the endowment.
And using the interest only.
That was part of the estate gift that was required in the agreement between the city and the Wheeler's.
So each year we transfer the interest to your huge fund for trees.
Okay.
And there's no way we can get at the original balance in perpetuity, is that correct?
You have to review the contract language, but traditionally it requires a vote by the governing body to do so, but you have to notify the heirs that you might be doing so. It's not dissimilar to what universities do.
Yeah, no, I understand. So, but as I say, this is a little bit of an anachronism now because it's down to a few percent of what you actually spend. When this started, it was important.
Right.
The point the Wheeler family was trying to make is the city was underinvesting in trees. That's no longer true today. And so in some sense, it's a little anachronistic that we have to carry this along as a separate fund. But
theoretically, Dan, you know, $1,500, $1,600, how many trees could you purchase, depending on the caliber? Of course.
Yeah.
Right. It's three. They're about $200 a piece. Yeah. So about seven, eight.
Okay, good. Anyone else on the tree nursery fund? The anachronism? That indeed it is. Workers' compensation fund. Like Marshall Bodine.
You're not auctioning. You don't have to wait for another bid. Just keep rolling.
Let's hear your duty.
No.
Next fund. Okay, next fund.
I'm not sure how many times you want to go through these.
The working cash fund.
Until we all get memorized.
Working cash fund. Any questions on account restructuring?
Yes.
Everybody here together.
Mr. Mayor, may I take the opportunity to thank Mary for a fine presentation, very enlightening.
Nice job.
Really excellent, Mary. It was excellent.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
We ever do this again.
Just, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, we do not have a motion nor a second on the floor to approve these 19 funds. So if anyone wishes to ask additional questions, motion by Piper, seconded by Singer. Questions regarding any of the funds and or policies and or Mary?
This would be also setting the public hearing date for April 19th.
April 19th,
as well.
Correct. Yeah. Mr.
Mayor, the only question I really have and what I would like to see is when we are looking at that Prairies Farm, I think putting that in there for the possible sale of a wetland is probably not very conservative, and considering if we don't sell that, we would really need to move general funds into that fund to pay it, that I would really like to see that $45,000 taken out of there, because the likelihood of selling one of those this year is possible, but I don't think it's probable.
On the Prairie Green Fund.
Mr. Mayor, if I might.
Yes.
I would just say that we have reduced this, the number of credits and the amount over the last few years, to try to be more realistic. We do believe that one credit is realistic. If we don't sell it, we can amend the fund.
We'll have to amend the fund, but...
Right, but you're supposed to set those budget expenditures out and revenues as you anticipate, and based on my discussions with Dick, we do anticipate within the next fiscal year selling one. And as he said, he has been contacted by someone who is interested.
It's just when you see that there's credits out there that are, there's different rankings of credits, and ours probably being on the lower end, and with the development that's going on right now, the probability, again, it's possible, but you know, it's possible, but I don't know if it's really probable. And that's, I just don't want to have to get to a point where we realize later in the year we have to move from the general fund. I just prefer to be more conservative now, and realize that we have a good possibility of having to tap into the general fund to pay the bills, because we did already make the commitment to abate the bond, and the property taxes are what they are.
The theory of the abatement is, if the money isn't there to abate it, then the debt fund reserve will cover the taxes for next year. There is a reserve balance in the debt fund, which the debt is paid out of. If the money isn't in the Prairie Green funds to do the transfer of the abatement, then the debt fund reserve will cover that tax payment.
And what's in that debt reserve fund then?
I don't have it in front of me, but there's like $300,000 to $400,000, I think.
So it wouldn't come out of general
fund. And that's the point of the reserve balance in the debt fund. For those cases when you don't have enough to pay the debt, you have a reserve balance to cover shortfalls. And that's what will happen if the Prairie Green Fund can't fund that abatement. That's how we budgeted it.
I was underneath the impression it was going to come out of the general fund.
No, nothing comes out of the general fund unless it's budgeted through a transfer in the budget. We don't automatically take from the general fund.
Our fail-safe is the debt services fund.
Correct. The debt service fund pays for the debt. Okay. That's why the tax levy for the debt goes into the debt service fund. The reserve is there in case the debt money isn't there, if the tax levy isn't there, or the abatements aren't able to be done from the other funds.
Then I change it. You know, of course, then it's there. I was afraid it was coming out of the general fund. I mean, there is enough in that fund to take care of that small transfer then.
Okay.
So that's fine. Thank you for the explanation.
Sure.
Mr. Hill.
And then my question early on about the wages is we will really move on that question later on, perhaps? Or?
Whatever's decided on wages will be reflected in any wages in these budgets.
Okay, fine.
It has to
be. The departmental budgets.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Mr. Pollack.
Thank you, Mayor. My concern, again, is back to the replacement tax for the pension funds. It's approximately $54,000, 60-some-odd percent. I would just rather we be extremely conservative in budgeting what we anticipate getting back from the state.
This is what we anticipate getting back from the state, and if that changes, we can amend our budget.
Mm-hmm.
But I would ask the council, if you want to change the policy that the city council has set with regard to this, that you do so in the future as opposed to at this point in time when we're trying to put the budget together, because we've relied on these funds to supplement this fund for many, many years, and that's been the policy of the council. So I think that is most certainly a viable question to ask, but I think that the timing may be off just a little bit, and perhaps if we could talk about it for the upcoming next fiscal year as opposed to this one, because we need those funds contributing to and subsequent or subsidizing this pension fund. So I would ask that you not take those out. Obviously, if we don't get those funds.
And I acknowledge that based on these unprecedented times we're in, that we really do have to look ahead and really not count the chickens before they're hatched.
Well, we have to count on what we is within the law right now. Now, that can change, but right now the law is that we receive replacement tax, and we receive those on an ongoing basis. So I would hesitate to say the sky is falling, let's not budget anything, because we may lose those funds. We may. But every single month, every 2 weeks, the department heads and I are getting together, and we're looking at the financial reports, and we're seeing what's coming in.
Yep.
And if you look at the financial reports that you're receiving at mid-month, you'll see that we've held back. We've deferred spending over $500,000 because we are concerned about it. So we're pushing those things back, not cutting, but delaying purchases. And as I said, we get together every 2 weeks and discuss those items. That's just an ongoing practice that we have. So we are on top of those things. So we will know when that's happening. And we make adjustments accordingly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyone else? Alderman Brown?
Thank you. I will be voting against this only because I still have some problems with SSA number one that I will take offline and discuss with Ms. McKittrick.
Anyone else?
Just a clarification. Next couple of weeks, we'll be talking more about the individual department budgets.
Yes.
And raises.
No, we'll talk about the individual department budgets and all the elements there, too. I know you've got your arrow and your quiver ready to go, but it's like we'll have a whole bunch of stuff to discuss.
Next week or 2 weeks?
Each departmental discussion. So.
Next week's council
meeting. What's next week?
Well, we might be holding a special call if prepared. Otherwise, we'll postpone it till the 22nd. We'd like to stay on a certain schedule that Mary has worked out. If we can do so, we'll have a special committee meeting next week to discuss the departmental budgets. If not, we'll just advance that to the 22nd.
These budgets need to be recommended by March 22nd. Because we need a month's viewing time for the public before our public hearing takes place. So in anticipation of quivers and discussion, I thought perhaps we would try to move it up 1 week and start talking about the budgets, the general fund, the enterprise fund, and the capital budgets next Monday, with the expectation that discussion could be carried over the following Monday. So we've got 2 Mondays to discuss this. But again, my reasoning is last year I brought those to you on the second committee of the whole. But I've heard so much discussion before the budgets have been presented that I thought perhaps it might take 2 weeks. So.
Fair enough.
Will they be done before the Thursday? How we get our picket on Thursday, will they be done before that or no?
I don't even know if they'll be done on Thursday.
Okay.
You sense a working
if you
weekend.
You think they're hard to write. They're hard to read. Some of us need to think harder on them than others.
I'm working on them. We're all working on them as quickly as we can.
Well, too bad you stayed here all night.
I know.
I think she's dead Friday or Saturday night.
Saturday.
Any additional questions, generally speaking or otherwise?
So if we make any changes to anything in the general fund that affects these, do we have to re-vote on these then again?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. No. Just we'll a procedural
those,
type.
Staff will make those changes.
Okay.
Yeah. Fine. Anyone in the audience? For the fun of it, we'll take a roll call vote. Madam Secretary?
Chuck Brown?
Nay.
Ralph D'Antino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
The motion on item 3G passes 9 affirmative votes, 1 nay vote. We're on the new business. Any new business from anybody in the audience tonight? Michael Dimitopoulos, this is your final evening. Did all those Girl Scouts kill the devil out of you, or what, man?
Get a power plant like a sheriff.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Oh.
Zach, anything?
No.
Oh, no problem. Anybody, Chief?
No.
Nope. Chief,
find a power plant.
Chief is one.
Yeah, we want to get out.
Move to adjourn. Oh, they actually... Chief, you could grab those, please, before Paula gets over there. Pam, anything? No? Good. Where's your husband tonight?
At home with his children.
He's in the car.
Mr. Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I may, I would like to compliment Alderman Flanagan on the success of the pasta for posies. It was a marvelous function and very well attended. I understand we didn't
live up to our expectations of last year.
Yes, but it was well done, and you have to be complimented for the manner in which it was done.
I'm just a lone person.
Thank you, staff.
Well, I was going to do that next week if I could, but I don't know what the agenda is. I just wanted to make one comment, though. I wanted to thank everybody who did support, who did come out, and who did purchase some tickets and did actually enjoy the evening out. And I also thank those who had donated and didn't come out. Maybe next year you can donate and come out. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Anyone else? A motion to adjourn is in order.
Second.
Motion by Singer, seconded by Hill. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Good night, everyone.